11 seconds to go. Stafford downfield, and his pass is dropped by Swift. He was in the end zone.
Oh, no. Not again. Lordy, Lordy, Lordy. Oh, the Lions just made 2020 feel kind of normal, didn't they?
Yes. I guess 2020 doesn't change everything, as my buddy texted me right after the game.
You know, they're up 23-6 in the fourth quarter. And when the Bears scored, you said, I think you're going to lose this game. And I kind of felt the same way, but I thought, but they did that last year in the opener. They were ahead 24-6 against Arizona, and it was so miraculous that a rookie quarterback could bring that team back. And I'm watching Trubisky, who's just not that good.
No, he's terrible.
And I'm thinking that...
But you know what? He's 4-0 against the Lions, baby! He's a lion killer.
They're so bad. Look at their three opening games under Matt Patricia. 48-17, the Jets walloped them on Monday Night Football at Ford Field. Last year, they play a rookie quarterback in his first game. They're up 24-6 in the fourth quarter, and they tie in overtime. And today, you know, the Bears made a huge mistake at halftime. They gave Stafford the ball back.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That was huge. And they scored, and then the Lions scored in the third quarter to open up. It's 20-6. They had other chances to score. I'm not sure where to lay this thing, but I have a couple places right off the bat.
Nice job, none of you.
Okay, that missed field goal was a big deal.
I thought that was really stupid. At that time, I said, why are you kicking a field goal to make a two-possession game a two-possession game? Because it's a 55...
losers.
It's a 55-yard kick. Just punt it.
You know, I don't know why. I'm watching them line
coaching.
Up, and it didn't dawn on me that, oh, the Bears are going to get the ball at the 45-yard line if he misses this.
Yep.
That's ridiculous. You don't want to put them that close to 3 points and within a 45. Score... Because there wasn't much time left.
No, I know. And then
that was the only way they get in that game is a quick drive and score. Two quick drives and scores.
Yep. In the drive the Lions had when they were up, the real final drive, not the one DeAndre Swift dropped the ball in.
Okay.
The Bears had three timeouts, 2-minute warning, and I said, they've got to throw the ball. They've got to throw the ball here.
I didn't
throw
disagree
it on
with
first
that.
Down.
I didn't disagree with that
run
call
on the first two, but. Oh, well.
But
I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Oh, so you're saying they ran the first two downs.
They ran the first two downs, and they had to throw.
I thought Stafford completed a shot. I guess you're probably right. I don't think I wrote down. But, yeah, they were so predictable. And what did they do when they got in close the first two times? They run two running plays and an incomplete pass, and they kick a field goal. I mean, it's just...
Okay. Hey, we all wanted a return to normalcy, and we got it.
Patricia... He's just got to go. I mean, he just has to go. What in the world? I don't know why he's back, but this, is, to me, was just inexcusable. Yeah. Absolutely inexcusable. And
good job.
And I thought the field goal call was terrible. The management on the final drive was terrible. They should have had at least one more play.
Well, who doesn't want Stafford scrambling twice?
And throwing passes in the middle of the field. Short passes.
I know. That's not
the size of these guys.
I did like the option play that Stafford ran. That was pretty cool. I mean, because when you think option, you really want him.
What was he? Wait, which play are you talking about?
They ran an option like in the third quarter, and it went maybe a yard,
yeah,
if that. But I still think Jamie. I'm surprised that. I mean, DeAndre Swift is what everyone's going to remember. But remember Jamie Collins. The guy who had the Patriot way, signed with the Lions.
He's a big signing.
He's just like the Patriots. He loves them. He learned a lot there, and he comes here. What does he do? He gets thrown out for, you know, headbutting the guy in the stomach. The ref in the stomach gets thrown out. It's like, yeah, okay, he's been lionized. All right.
You know, when people forget this, when Patricia came here, we were 10-6 the year before, 9-7. 9-7?
Yes.
Yeah, we just missed the playoffs, and that wasn't good enough. And so when we went 6-10, I really felt like, because they looked so bad,
Yeah.
I thought, I don't know if this guy can make it another year. And then the second year was worse, 3-12. Their defense is terrible. Their defense today, the Bears' offense is awful. They had 391 yards. They ran the ball at will. They made Trubisky look like a superstar in the fourth quarter. Good God. What does Matt Patricia bring this team? I want to know.
Pencil. That's about it. I don't know.
Boy, he has made that pencil behind the ear go a long way. That has really carried him.
I don't get it. I don't understand it, but it broke.
I brought my pencil!
Hell of a lot of fun, though.
What's Facebook Live saying? I'm just curious. Are we getting any interesting...
They can't believe we would even watch the game. That was one. Which, why wouldn't we? We like football.
Oh, because the Lions are so bad?
I guess, yeah. Let me scroll up.
They're pretty bad.
Not a sports podcast. Haven't we seen this story before?
You don't want to hear about the Lions game?
I guess not.
I don't want to spend an hour on it, but I thought it was probably what most people were doing today. You know, yeah. It's great to have football back.
Oh, it's the best. It's so much fun.
And
Patricia looks like he smells.
Adrian Peterson, not bad.
Hey, he played a great game.
Yeah.
You know, I can tell this year that might be the thing that keeps me interested, is rooting for Adrian Peterson to get 1,000 yards or something at his advanced age.
Child abuse lover.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Hey, he cancel me.
He survived that cancellation, right? Because he is good at sports.
Yes, he did.
That story's always a slight.
I thought it was overblown.
Punishing his child with a switch.
Yeah. I do.
Madeline
feel...
gets the fists. Leg kicks.
How old is she, two?
Almost two.
She's tough.
I drop elbows.
Look how tough she is. Boy, Swift. Poor Swift. I mean, although, you know, honestly, I got to tell you, I wasn't even thinking about Swift after the game.
You weren't?
Not much.
I mean, that was, they won that game. He catches that ball, they win that game.
I agree.
I mean, it's a lot of the focus is going to be on him, but they never should have been in that position.
No, not at all. And he's a rookie, and he dropped a pass. I'm trying to remember, was he thought of as a pass catcher? Was he a pass catching guy in college?
I don't know, but that's one of the reasons they wanted him, was to have him, you know, catch balls out of the backfield.
I think I'd rather have Kerryon Johnson. He's awfully dependable, isn't he? Neither one of them did anything today.
Same. Yeah.
And I wasn't really impressed with the way Swift ran the ball, but he's young. It's his first day.
I actually felt bad for him.
I felt bad too, because yeah, it's easy to go, you fuck, you dropped the winning catch. But
it's my first day.
Could we go to the interception? Why don't we play that just for shits and giggles? This was a huge, huge play. And this is a terrible pass.
2:45 left, 3rd and 6.
So this could be a passing situation for Stafford.
Could be. It should be.
How could you throw that ball?
He throws it over the middle. Two guys are converging on the receiver. It gets bounced up and picked off. Not only was it a bad decision, it was a bad throw.
By the former Hokie.
Oh, Fuller.
Doesn't happen for me very often. Yeah, that was a terrible, terrible play. I really like Matt Stafford. I really like his talent. I like him as a person. I just feel like he just doesn't have that it. That thing that makes you make the play that makes the difference.
He's just another NFL regular quarterback. The problem is he was drafted number one overall. He's okay. He's, yeah.
But he does.
They're all good quarterbacks.
Statistically, he's really good, isn't he? I mean, our stats starting to pile up.
Yeah, because they're always behind and have to throw the ball 50 times a game.
But I just don't feel. Compare him to Tom Brady, okay, who always makes that play he has to make.
Brady's on a different level. We were talking
Drew
about
Brees. He always makes that play he has to make.
Brandon, you and I were talking about it before the game. There's what, maybe 5 quarterbacks. Everybody else is pretty much the same.
But
I don't even include Brady in that styles, anymore. But there's a few guys that are incredibly elite. Your Mahomes and your Jacksons and Brees and Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Then
Russell
there's a lot
Wilson.
Of middle Jackson, of the pack guys, and the rest, Stafford's kind of in there.
Yeah, the rest, honestly, you just throw them in a hat. And
but
all the same.
But how many of the? I mean, I think there's more than 5 guys that do not blow 24-6 leads against a rookie in his first game. I think there's lots of guys who don't blow a 23-6 lead against the shit bear team
opener.
But
that's not entirely on Matthew Stafford.
That interception was a big, big play. And also
the field goal kick was a big, big play.
The management of his last drive was really bad.
It was terrible. He was not good today.
Drew Brees does not do that.
No.
I don't think Philip Rivers does that.
Philip Rivers throws plenty of interceptions.
Well,
he's not the best game manager.
I don't think he blows a 23-6 lead against this Bears
team.
No one does.
That's the point. Mitch on Facebook just wrote, you can tell Stafford still has COVID-19. That's a really funny joke.
Oh, God almighty. All right. COVID-19! Me mention Dr. Yaldo is back at the LOI Center. They're offering $1,500 off for Drew Mike listeners. You just got to tell them you're a Drew Mike listener. Get your free evaluation, 1-800-398-EYES, if you want the custom LASIK. That's really been super successful surgery, and people get fantastic results. Also, the multifocal lens implants will have you seeing small print and everything else for as long as you live. If you're 45 or over, surgeries are about lifestyle and getting rid of glasses and contacts and reading glasses and all that crap, and it should pay for itself. Plus, besides the $1,500 off the regular price, if you bring a friend. Ooh. Now, not just to hang out.
Oh, they have to go through.
The friend has to get something
bring
done.
Bring your buddy.
Yeah. That'd be pretty cool. Should pay for itself. But half off your surgery if you bring an additional person who actually goes through and does something. Get a free evaluation, 800-398-EYES, or go to yaldoeyescenter.com. And also, I'll mention the Hall Financial Hotline because we may need it. Hall Financial wants you to know mortgage rates are at an all-time low. People are saving so much money on refis. Just get the nicest. Hall gets the greatest notes from our audience, which is really nice that people, well, usually a lot, most of them send them to me and I send them to him and he sends something back. But low rates mean saving a lot of money. If you're around 4%, if you're 3.5%, if you're 3.3%, I think I would check because some people can get as low as 2.5 under the right circumstances. Low rates mean value if you're on the market for that new home. Remember, Hall Financial Service is the fastest in the business. Get your mortgage in half the time of their competitors. And time can mean money. And they've talked about skip payments for people, refinancing too. So make money by saving money. Live how you want. Call 248-308-5000. Go to davidhallmortgage.com/Drew and Mike. Click the link on our website. NMLS number 1467435, Hall Financial. Let's see. Who was it that... I got a great email today from one of our female listeners, and she had an interesting brush with celebrity. Ah, Maria. There it is.
Sounds like a great one.
What do you think, George?
Wow, it sounds really compelling.
Okay, you're going to be really unhappy that you did that.
Maria, where are you?
Maria is going to give us some very interesting,
Maria!
Meaningless but interesting information that may require extensive, irresponsible speculation. This is really,
all right. Wow, this is really quite the tease.
It's really silly. Here's Maria's number.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. Should I email her and say we're calling? I told her like 5:30. Oh, boy,
that's about right. We're always a half hour at best. Behind
Maria, we will.
Maria, where are you?
She sounds hot.
How do I know Maria? That name is really familiar to me. For some reason,
let me see the last name.
Maria, where are you?
Oh, I don't know. Okay,
I can't place it, but I think I know that name. Right. Anyway, it's a funny story. We'll get to it in a second. First. Is there anything more to say about the Lions? I don't know that there is, honestly.
No.
Who they play really. Next week?
I have no idea. Do you know, Brandon?
Who cares? Honestly.
It'll come here. I'll watch. I'll be frustrated and angry.
Looks like they have the Packers in Green Bay.
In Green Bay?
Aaron Rodgers threw for 360 and four scores today.
Surrounded by a team of nobodies, really. I mean, not the elite kind of players.
Okay.
It makes his team better.
I hate to put these things together because it sounds like we're a sports podcast and we're not, but is the Big Ten embarrassed yet enough? How embarrassed do they have to be to put a football team out there?
I guess this is it because they're going to vote today, right?
I said they might vote in a couple days. They could vote today, too, but why are they? What's taking so long? Dave Portnoy, did you guys see Dave Portnoy bitching about Michigan?
No.
He suggests that Michigan is really on the don't play side.
The university or the football?
Yeah, the university. Not Harbaugh.
Michigan!
We know Harbaugh, of course, wants to play. Yeah. The players want to play. The players' parents want to play. Everybody wants to play. And, you know, I would think after you saw people playing the last couple weekends, that might be about all it took. Right. And go ahead, Brandon.
No, I agree, because here we are. There was a lot of college football on this weekend.
Hell yeah.
A lot of people were watching it, and there were a few teams that were missing. So it just it makes you wonder why some areas can play and why some teams cannot play.
Well, they sure are missing. I mean, honest to God, I forget the fact that who do I like watching most? Virginia Tech, Michigan State, Northwestern, and Illinois were my growing up teams, and I love watching them play too. So four of my teams are just gone. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a lot. And I love watching the, you know, Penn State or Ohio State, the games that affect Michigan, Wisconsin.
Big nothing 10. Like I mean, watching, Wake Forest and Florida State?
Well,
or is it, Clemson, it was Georgia Clemson. Tech? And, Georgia Tech. And
I got
to
tell you, I grew up with the Big 10. I went to Virginia Tech, which was independent at the time.
Oh!
They joined the Metro Conference. Not
Virginia
not
Tech,
football.
Tremendous school.
The Big East, they're in the ACC, which is where they always wanted to be now.
Whoa, I didn't ask for your life story.
And I do love the ACC. I moved out to Phoenix, and I followed the Pac-10 for a couple of years. And when I moved back to Detroit, I got to tell you, to have all those Big Ten games on, I felt, I feel like I'm at home again. It really is. The conference I grew up with, it's a conference I want to watch, and it's really hard to deal with. And in this not playing when the others are, and then saying, I might play Thanksgiving, or I'll play in the spring. It just sounds so dumb. And waiting. They're saying,
maybe we can play by October, late October.
What?
The whole season's already dumb.
How do they need, how much more time do they need to play?
I don't know.
I mean, don't they need like 2 weeks? Why would they need more than 2 weeks? I mean, I would think speed would be of the essence now, isn't it?
Sure. I mean, they clearly don't care that the other students are getting sick. I mean, what is Michigan State? It says everybody just don't move.
Yeah, Michigan State is quarantined in place.
350.
But that's see to me that makes the point even stronger.
No, I
is that
Drew,
they brought the students to campus who are a disaster area.
Look, I'm with you. COVID's over. Nobody cares about it anymore. Nobody cares about the numbers. Nobody cares about getting it. So just let's just play.
I don't feel that it's over, but I feel like if you're going to invite your students to come on campus and spread coronavirus like crazy, then why would you deny the football team the right to play?
I don't know. It really sounds like they're waiting for this fast test, which it's interesting because Brandon, you had another.
Oh, please. Come on. Everybody else is playing. Why do they need this test? What's the difference?
Well, because you don't want other people to get it.
But everybody else is playing already. What do they need that everybody else doesn't have? Give me a break. I mean, the season only starts once. I think somebody needs to be blown out. The Big Ten commissioner. I don't know if it's... this just seems idiotic. And look at how pissed all the... I would... You know, I this is like the only thing I'd ever see Harbaugh losing his shit over.
Good.
At Michigan.
Good.
Because
he's a Michigan man.
Yeah. But this is really, and it is funny. You're right about seeing Harbaugh have a boss.
Yeah. It's kind of fun, isn't it?
You can take the football away from him.
Yep.
But come on, let's play the game. For Christ's sake, everybody else is playing. High schools are playing. Let's go. Okay, Maria, just dial up Maria.
Oh, one more thing on the Lions game, too. I forgot to bring up, and a guy's message on Facebook Live reminded me. The crowd noise that was pumped in was so
a little loud,
distracting.
What the fuck was that? It was so loud I couldn't hear the play-by-play.
Well, not only that, but it was consistent, right? There was never it never got like when there was a big play, it never was like yay and then got back down. And when there was like when Collins was kicked out, it wasn't like you just didn't hear. It was just constantly.
It was so loud.
the whole time.
What's wrong with Okuda, by the way? Our number three pick in the fucking draft?
Was it hamstring? He got injured. He was kept out of practice the last 2 days.
Great.
And Kenny Galladay, who they really could have used today.
They could have used both of them, to tell you the truth.
They didn't need either of them. Still would have lost. They were up 23-6 with an 11-year veteran at quarterback against a quarterback who cannot throw the ball to the receiver.
Well, they did in the fourth quarter.
Still won.
Our friends at Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and Deals in a D. Why don't you call it Maria? Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and Deals in a D.com are at it again. They've got the 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn 4x4 as low as $180 a month. Maria. You can get the new 2020 loaded Jeep Compass at just $155 a month. How about a new 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee Trailhawk four-wheel drive as low as $249 a month? Can you pipe Maria down just a little bit? Then the Jeep Wrangler, Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, has the largest Wrangler inventory in the state. The good news is there's no better time to get to Zot and order your badass Wrangler just the way you like it. See all this and more at dealsinthed.com. And I saw 218 people were in Royal Oak yesterday spending their Royal Oak bucks with the Downtown Development Authority, all that cash. It's getting down to the last month or so. So good for you. It was a great day. Hopefully Sunday was crazy too. And remember, they've got the Lyft deal on the weekends, Thursday through Sunday. 5 p.m. to 2 a.m. Thursday, Friday, and then 10 a.m. to 2 a.m. Saturday, Sunday. If you want to do the $10 off, coming in, coming out. And the code is GO2RO. Go to RO. And Facebook Live is brought to you by Emergency Response Services Incorporated, because water is everywhere. Leaky sink, washing machine, behind your fridge, under your dishwasher. Keep an eye out for water in your home, not just floods. Water is the enemy. Emergency Response Services Incorporated will help you, and they'll help you with mold. And call 877-JOB-DONE. Get it on your fridge. 877-JOB-DONE. Emergency Response Services Incorporated, or 877-JOB-DONE.com. Let's hear from Maria.
Maria, where are you?
Maria, 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 M-A-R-I-A, Maria. Maria, 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 Maria.
Yeah.
Maria.
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 Wait, what's that for?
Brandon.
Maria.
That was Mark.
That was not me.
I was controlling the other drops that were making you laugh.
Oh, this is on me.
Maria. Where are you?
She's there somewhere.
I'm here.
Hey, Maria, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. Your name is familiar. Why do I know Maria?
I love that I have a song. Thank you.
You're welcome. We got done for you.
I've been a long time listener, and I had tickets to the Tiger game with you guys when Comerica first opened.
Wow.
Oh, so you saw Rick Rockwell.
I don't remember.
Remember when you guys had a block of tickets?
Oh, yeah. Yes, okay. I do.
And then I've had a few run-ins with you over the years, but I don't think you'd really know me.
I thought it was something recent for some reason, but that's okay. That's not important. What is important?
So.
Okay. What is important is you had a brush with celebrity that is pretty big, and there's a big mystery attached to it. So why don't you start with the brush with celebrity?
It was exciting.
I know it was.
We went to the Pantry in Clinton Township, and if you're an East Sider, you know what I'm talking about. It's a great breakfast place where they make those big, puffy German pancakes.
Sweet.
And it's one of the first times I've been out with my mask, and I was all excited, down in the city anyway. And I went to pay my bill, and there was White Boy Rick.
Whoa.
White Boy Rick?
Dun, dun, dun.
Did he look happy?
He looked good.
He did? Good.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks young.
Was he, like, on the phone all the time?
No. He was sitting with his buddy.
You like what you see, huh?
Were there any shady-looking people with him?
He was sitting with a typical East Side guy.
Okay.
And the waitress, I'm the same age as him, so we all looked right over at him, and we all knew who he was. Wow. There were five girls out to And we all, behind our masks, were like, oh, that's White Boy Rick, that's White Boy Rick. And the waitress seemed like she was talking to him, you know, personally, not just about his bill or whatever.
Well.
I didn't want to bug him, but I was definitely starstruck.
That's so funny. But, you know, don't you kind of wish you had bugged him just to talk to him?
Yeah. And don't you always regret what you don't do?
Yes, except you did do one thing that was huge. You stalked him. You followed him.
No, we pulled out at the same time, Drew. Don't make me sound like a stalker.
Are you sure it was... Now, was that pure happenstance?
I swear. I was paying my bill, and he was getting up to leave, too. I swear.
Okay,
hey,
so...
Ha ha.
His car is in front of yours,
yep.
And you did the only thing you could do at that time. You took a picture.
Of course.
And the license plate was what kind of car was it? Do you know?
A Mercedes.
Wait, White Boy Rick is a Mercedes?
Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I just drive a Buick Enclave. I don't know my Mercedes, but it looked like a nice.
Whoa! I didn't ask for your life story.
Is he?
Hell yeah, he does. I think he is. I'm not sure, but I think he's working in the auto industry now. Plus, I'm sure he's got a little bit of money from you know having a movie made about him.
He was working in the auto industry behind bars, too. That's why he ended up in Florida.
That's right. He was in the auto industry. But, I don't know, does it look right for White Boy Rick to be driving a Mercedes now?
Why? Because he's not American?
No.
Drive whatever he wants.
You know what? He's been in jail for 32 years. Why am I bitching about it?
Drive whatever he wants.
He should drive the best car in the world.
I know.
But,
and I wanted to buy his breakfast. I was like, I want to buy his breakfast.
Well, that's why you can afford a Mercedes.
Well,
everyone
then
wants to
I
buy
got
those.
Out in the parking lot. I'm like, I'm glad I didn't buy his
breakfast.
Okay, but there's really something spooky about that picture you took.
I know.
What is it?
His license plate.
Which says?
Since 12.
Okay, Maria and I were going back and forth. Trying to figure out, what does since 12 mean?
Well, is it his car?
He's wanted the car since 12?
Oh, no. That mystery.
Maybe. Is it definitely his car, too? Or is it someone else's plate?
Was he driving?
I mean, I'm amazed that he...
He was driving, and his buddy got in a different car. Not that I was talking.
No, you had an interesting analysis. You thought it might be what?
I thought he was wrongfully incarcerated since 12. That was the first one. Then, because I want to think on the bright side.
He was older, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was older.
I don't know. I meant since 2000, since 2012.
Oh.
And then my next guess was... What was my next guess, Drew?
Let's see. Oh, he wanted the car since he was 12.
He wanted the car since he was 12.
Oh,
or he's...
No.
Or
that sure is a mystery.
I know. Or he's been in the business with quotation marks since 12.
That's giving me a clue.
My guess was that he's been an informant since he was 12.
Yeah.
But all that is too soon. He really was like 15, 16, 14, I think, when that really started happening. So, I don't know. We need to know what this is.
Seriously? I have such a raging clue right now.
Yeah, I'm all over it. And I think... is anybody in the Facebook audience saying anything, Mark? Are we off Facebook?
No, we're still on there. Most people are excited because they saw Kristen walk into the shot and they thought it was time for Brandon's dinner. No, that's mostly what people think. Maybe since 12. Yeah. That,
okay. Hmm.
That seems to be the prevailing.
12 million.
I'm sure I will be receiving some guests.
It's really interesting,
though. The email.
Great
it is.
Sleuth.
I would like to know what that is all about. And maybe we get White Boy Rick on. I think he's selling cars. That's what I've been led
too,
to believe.
Yeah.
My dad has always done that, too. When I saw him, I was going to ask him if he would come on your show.
Oh, wow. Why didn't you?
I swear.
I would have said, well, it's kind of interesting that you would book someone on our show, but I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I would like that. If anybody can book White Boy Rick, go ahead.
I'm sure anybody, someone a prize. Really. It's someone we want to talk to.
Yeah, it's hard to book people these days. People aren't promoting anything.
Exactly.
Well, great work, Maria, and you did a good job describing all this.
Maria!
It was exciting.
It was.
Yes. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
I hope I see you soon.
Keep up the good work.
Okay, thanks.
See you guys.
You too.
Maria,
bye.
Bye.
That's Stalker Maria. She is one stalking Maria. Great job.
Maria!
You know, actually,
are you?
I'm just amazed at the observational powers of some people.
How so?
I don't know. I just don't notice extra things. I just don't notice things.
I never recognize people in public. When I'm around with other people, like, say, Vegas or whatever, never recognize people.
I was at Bill's, the brunch place in West Bloomfield, for Kristen's birthday once, and there was five of us, and we were pretty much alone in the entire restaurant. And then Henrik Zetterberg and Gustav Nyquist come in, and they sit like right next to us, and we're the only two tables. And every time we looked up, we were making eye contact with them. It was so weird. We should have just said hi, but instead we made it very, very cringy.
Well, you recognize when we were into Dumb and Dumber 2? Didn't you?
Yeah, the Red Wings players were all there.
I didn't.
But that was all. There was nobody in there except us three and all Red Wings players.
It was just the back of their heads. I didn't know. I had no idea. That was not far from where I saw Dustin Hoffman. Now that was really freaky. That was so weird because I was like, why is Dustin Hoffman standing outside the Birmingham 8 staring at the marquee? And I'm like, oh, well, he could be here because he thinks it's a cool old theater. And I was like, that's ridiculous. Why would Dustin Hoffman come here? And it turns out that's what he was doing.
So it was just you and Kristen, and then Nyquist and Zetterberg were there?
Yeah, but we also
Dustin Hoffman just gets brushed over for Zetterberg and Nyquist? Jeez.
Heard that story.
Well, Kristen's always had a huge crush on
this story too.
So.
I didn't hear this story.
You were there, weren't you?
No, not with Kristen and Zetterberg and Nyquist.
Yeah, it was just those didn't four. Talk to him. I told Kristen
maybe
it was her birthday.
Maybe we
I said,
should have a four-way kiss.
I said, say hi to him on your way back.
That's
the
real reason
I
went back to it, Drew.
She bailed.
You know who was always good at Walters was always good at spotting people. Like,
yeah,
he'd be out and I'd be like, "What? Where? Who?" Huh?
He's not. He's fearless too. He'll become friends with them.
I know. I'm like, I don't want to talk to anybody. Go away.
I don't know why. I just feel like that. Why would they want to be friends with me? That's crazy.
He was great at that. But I remember him spotting like Sue, which isn't a very hard person to spot because he's huge. But that was at a restaurant in Birmingham. I'm never good at recognizing people except for that time. I've told you about the time I saw LeBron, right?
Where'd you see LeBron?
At the Townsend. You don't remember this? It was LeBron, D. Wade, and Juwan Howard all walking.
Oh, yeah. Why were they there?
They were playing the Pistons. And they were and we, Julie and I, were going.
I ain't playing.
Going there for something else. I'm like, Julie, did you just realize who we walked by? She goes, no. I said, LeBron James.
Yeah,
she goes, I don't care. Just kept going, what?
The Townsend is definitely a place to see people. And I remember checking out once, and John Engler was checking out.
Oh, all right.
That was really weird because, you know, he wasn't in office anymore, and I'd seen him a million times. And I started talking to him, and he was like, it felt like the Uncle Bob treatment from Hornsby. I think he was really annoyed, and he should have felt lucky to be talking to me.
Hey, we confirmed, though, that Uncle Bob exists.
Yeah, that's true. So maybe Hornsby's off the hook. But I really thought Engler was very put out by the fact that I said hi to him and I briefly initiated a conversation, nothing heavy. I just wondered what he was doing. And he was at some wonky, stupid event at the hotel, some ridiculous meeting about something that nobody cares about that probably pays him a lot of money. I should have chewed him out.
Bev on Facebook said she was on a flight to LAX with Pauly Shore and Nick Lachey.
How funny. Wait, were they together?
What a weird, that's a great question. Bev, if you heard that.
They were singing this song, too.
We both know that we shouldn't be here. This feels wrong. And baby, it's killing me.
This song gets dumber every day, doesn't it?
They're telling us we gotta stay home.
I mean, isn't it? That song is so painful to me.
I want you two to kiss each other.
I'm fascinated by how horrific it is. And that it actually got attention for 5 minutes. Pauly Shore, I'm so weirded out by this Pauly Shore Gallagher interview that Carl played the pieces to. Carl's on Tuesday, by the way.
Yeah, you know you gave him a good one to check out.
Did I tell you I started listening to it?
No, how bad is it?
Okay, it's really interesting. I'm not going to say the podcast because I don't want to spoil Tuesday. Well, everybody won't go listen to it. It's a podcaster.
Well, you don't have to listen to it because Carl will listen to it for us.
Yeah, Carl's going to take care of it. Rachel Yucatel was the girl that Tiger Woods was playing phone games with when his wife busted him.
Oh, he was, I didn't know, okay.
Yeah,
I knew
it was Rachel.
I knew that was the first one that, like, blew the whistle or whatever, because didn't he want to, he wanted her to buy an apartment?
There was all kinds of stuff going on. I think they got busted in, was it, like, Kuwait or somewhere? He was playing golf, and she was in the room next to him, and the Inquirer went up to her, and then they did a story, and she flew home immediately, acted like, oh, what's going on?
It's crazy.
And
slut.
And I think... what's her name? What's his name? Elon?
Elon Nordegren.
Elon saw her in his phone. She saw a text message like, you know, my wife isn't looking at my phone or something. And I think she called her and she answered the phone like, Tiger?
Oh.
You motherfucker! I never should have married you!
What happened?
So, she, this is so stupid, I have to say. Stupid things are driving me crazy. There's so much stupidity going on right now. It's making me nuts. And I'm reading this story about Rachel, you could tell, is breaking her 10-year silence on the Tiger Woods affair. And it talks about, it's her talking at first in the story about how this has been so hard having this story inside me. And, you know, everyone's telling their side and I can't say any. It's like, you can say whatever you want. What are you talking about?
Why did she have a non-disclosure agreement of some sort? Because she gave exclusive interviews to a National Enquirer?
I know. I don't think she did. I just think she didn't want to talk. Remember, she had an attorney in she immediately. It's like, wait, okay, you're banging Tiger Woods. Why do you need an attorney to bang Tiger Woods? What do you mean?
Oh, what a weird phrase.
I mean, isn't that strange? Because she did. She had an attorney who was traveling with her and stuff. Like, you know, Rachel just feels right now that blah, blah, blah. It's like, what? And she was being hounded, of course.
Well, don't forget, too, her ex-fiancé perished in 9/11.
Oh.
That was when she went for the sympathy.
Well, believe me, I learned all about that on her silence-breaking. And this was... I'm just going to talk a little bit about it because Carl's going to get into it.
Came out of that one.
She... First of all, would you think that hearing a Rachel Yucatel interview that it would be all about her?
Well, you there's really only one thing you want to hear about. It's Tiger Woods.
Right. But she really wants you to hear about her. And
but no one cares about her.
I know. Except she really, the host felt that it was only polite to, you know, get into her background and all the pain and, you know, does she deserve to be loved? And, well, yeah, because she was in love with this guy.
Does she deserve to be? Why? What is that,
that
even?
That subject came up. I'm just
the dumbest
just
thing I've ever heard.
I know. Yeah, it's so dumb.
Everyone deserves to be loved. Why, she doesn't deserve to be loved because Tiger put his dick in her?
No, it was before Tiger. Oh. She was engaged to Andy right before 9/11 when he was killed in the 104th floor. And the fact that he died and yet he was engaged to her, that is why she knows that she deserves to be loved because a great man like Andy loved her.
What a way to make it about her.
No.
Jesus.
She's going on and on about how the reason that we know of her, you know, she acts as if it's because of 9/11 and the fact that her picture was in every paper in the world.
No one knew that.
No, I know no one knew that. And I don't, by the way, was her picture in every paper in the world? I don't remember that. It was maybe when Tiger nailed her, it might have been, but not after 9/11. And then she says that she was carrying this missing poster of Andy.
Yeah.
And so, of course, people are interviewing her about it, which, remember when CNN was doing that, how horrible it was? Because we knew those people were dead, and it was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Anyway, as she's talking about this, she goes on and on about how she worked at Bloomberg News at the time, and she made it sound like, you know, she was the key investigative reporter at Bloomberg News and that she was covering the story and she's talking to Andy trying to get information and then boom, Andy's building gets hit because he was in the other building, second building, tower. And then his building went down and he died and she said that her office at Bloomberg watched her watch her husband or her fiance die.
Wow.
I mean, it just got so darn dramatic and then...
That's... okay.
And, I mean, this... And I am so paraphrasing...
If you go to her Wikipedia page, by the way, it says, known for, photographed in 9/11 aftermath, affair with Tiger Woods.
Well, then the host asks her about you know, money, because people who were related to 9/11 people remember that formula, and there was all this money.
Sure.
And Rachel said that the family of her fiance did not like her, and so they screwed her. They were mean to her after 9/11. Mm-hmm. And they could have given her money, but they didn't want to because they thought it was her fault because she was on the phone with him when he should have been exiting the building.
Oh, okay.
No, do you really?
I don't believe that.
I don't believe that either.
Said that to her.
Could they? First of all,
possible.
If it was true, would you say that?
No.
I mean, it was all like poor me, and I feel bad for what happened to her. I really do, but I just thought this is. I tell you
what, bitch, come join me. We get a crack rock, get a fifth of liquor, and we can smoke all goddamn night and feel better by daybreak. But we're gonna be some broke bitches.
The Red Cross was so kind. They gave her, she thinks, I think it was about $50,000. Like, really? You don't know how much it was?
What?
Yeah, the Red Cross gave Rachel Yucatel
$50,000
because her fiance died. Now, I don't even know if that makes sense.
Not the family?
No, they gave it to her because the family wouldn't give her any money, I guess. But why does she deserve money anyway? Sense. I mean, a lot of people have terrible things happen to family members and fiancés. And I mean,
well, 9/11 is a little different because a lot of people threw money. You know,
yeah,
naturally.
No, it's true. People do. People feel bad about something like George Floyd. Look at the hundreds of millions of dollars that have flowed because of George Floyd.
People want to help, but I can't help but wonder that if you knew your money went to Rachel Yucatel, if you'd want it back after she A, banged Tiger Woods, or B, appeared on Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew.
She was in Celebrity Rehab?
Yeah.
For what? What was she rehabbing for?
Treated for addictions to alcohol, opiates, and benzos.
Wow. Well, she had some fun.
Yeah, with Tiger. Well, oh, come on. Tell me she didn't do a bunch of drugs with Tiger.
Well, yeah, I'm sure she did. And also, she was dating Derek Jeter when she met Tiger.
Really?
Yeah. So she
and his team photo gets better and
I know.
Better
Can
every
you fucking
time.
Believe this guy? She is gorgeous.
I had no idea.
Yeah, and she's still posting really, you know, like, look how hot I am pictures on Instagram.
Really? But she's a mother now.
Is she a mother now?
Yeah, she married former Penn State fullback Matt Hahn. So Matt Hahn gets Jeter and Tiger Woods.
Oh, great. Poor guys in the team photo with Jeter and Tiger Woods.
Oh, I forgot, too, that she dated David Boring Anus.
Oh, that's right. And Tiger was jealous of him.
What a life she's led, man. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I forgot she
did. And Jeremy London.
Jeremy London, too?
Wait, yeah, Jeremy London? Who's dated who?
Wow, she's got a pretty good...
Who's that?
He's an actor. Didn't he go
one of the
nuts?
London twins?
Yeah.
She, you know, she is actually, you know, well, she is that gorgeous. She is so gorgeous. I am surprised that more celebrities aren't absolutely, you know,
it's amazing.
Radar
she's
to her.
So affected by it, but never changed her name or anything.
You know what else I just thought was interesting was I seem to remember.
She only has 21,000 followers on Instagram. I would expect her to have more.
Oh, I think
she'd
have way more. She's so beautiful. And she gives it up in the pictures, too.
Ooh, yeah, she does. Ooh.
I seem to remember that when she was with Tiger Woods, she was doing bottle service at some high-end places in Vegas. So I wonder what happened to that journalism career. She was so deeply into Bloomberg News.
9/11 killed it off.
Okay. I think you kind
of. Is that
stayed.
Actually her podcast or is she appearing
no,
on
it's
a
not
different
hers.
Podcast?
It's not hers. No. It's the Juicy Scoop with Heather McDonald.
Okay.
What's that?
Juicy Scoop.
Who's Heather McDonald?
She's a gossip person, I guess. Okay. You know, she had some other interesting guests on. I got to say, she gets some scoops. This is a big scoop.
I would think those two, you know, they both have a journalism broadcasting background. Could be a good podcast. What? No?
You're pretty sold on Rachel's journalism background,
well, she worked for Bloomberg for 5 years.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And she got bottle service gig in Vegas out of it. So.
Jesus.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I remember reading about how she could get $2,000 in tips a night or something. I thought, she did 1HJ or two a night on the side with some of these people she's...
I got to say, man, she put too much into her lips. Just spitballing here looking at these pictures.
Are we on Facebook?
No.
We're not, okay.
Lips are big.
Yeah, very big.
Big and fake.
I want to get into the other
stupid
big gossip item over the weekend, but first...
Oh, I got to close this. Too many stupid pictures.
Too many things in my Something in my eye. Damn it. Zotford's giant summer sales event is winding down, and they still have 2020 Ford Fusions, Mustangs, EcoSports. This is really the time to buy 2020s, isn't it?
Probably.
Sure. I mean, generally later in the year.
It's always a good time to buy a car.
EcoSports Escapes, Edges, Explorers, F-150s, all new Rangers, all under $200 a month. You got to set your ass in the Zotford and Holly quickly. And by the way, there's not watered-down rides. Zotford selection is full of loaded fat whips and lots of all-wheel drive and 4x4 options. You know the routine. Get to Zotford and Holly. Tell the hottest sales staff in Oakland County that Drew, Mark, Trudy, Brandon, any of us or all of us sent you. The shower of low prices will start attacking you. The excellent service is like a tsunami, so hang on to something. Until then, look at their massive inventory at dealsindeed.com. And Luke Nowacki's doing his thing, which, I tell you, it's getting more and more interesting. The closer we get to the election, the more I would really want some guidance. But Luke will tell you what to do in the next 6 months, 6 years, 6 minutes. A lot of times things change, and you want to be ready for the long haul, and you want to have a plan, and that's what Luke works on at Pinnacle Wealth Strategies. 248-663-4748, Rational Financial Advice. What does this mean now? What does it mean in 6 months? What does it mean in 6 years? Stocks or bonds? Move your 401k. How are your investments in the 401k doing? How's your company's pension fund doing? Mm. Get advice. Get a strategy.
Companies still have a pension fund.
Yeah, you're lucky if they do. Call Luke Nowacki at Pinnacle Wealth, 248-663-4748. You get the close.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. is separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates, Inc.
I don't know why. I still can't believe that. That Lions came
out like
great.
That.
Bummer, man.
Isn't that just incredible?
It's not that they lost. It's that it was exactly the same as last year.
Wait, how many
game one?
You know, I'd love to make a list of those games that we've seen where we go, really? They did that. They found
Remember, that was the mantra all last year. Well, you know, they were leading in all their games.
Which is so dumb to talk about, by the way. Nobody fucking cares. This was a team that 9-7 wasn't good enough.
Know,
so why is it suddenly okay to be winning in a lot of games but not win them?
So they wouldn't be, what, 3-12-1?
How did they lower the bar so far? How does Matt Patricia and Quinn get away with this?
Patriots way. Patriots way.
But that's a joke.
Drew,
that's always
rebuilding.
A joke.
They're rebuilding. Give them a chance.
Why are they rebuilding when they weren't rebuilding?
I don't know. They're just rebuilding.
How good a coach is Belichick?
So what was Quinn doing the first 2 years? He wasn't rebuilding it. He was just biding
unbuilding.
His time until Matt Patricia got here so they could rebuild
then?
Unbuilding
it, yeah. I suppose.
Demo day.
I don't know.
I mean, is it really stupid when you think about it? How do you lower the bar like that? How do you do it? Congratulations to both of them.
Well, maybe if they didn't take that day off from practice.
Yeah. Yeah. That reminds me.
Maybe Swift could have cut some balls that day.
Brandon informed me, and I saw it on Twitter, that All Buildings Matter was trending.
Oh, yeah.
Which was whatever. Explain that, Brandon.
Well, I mean, essentially, non-9/11, people wanted to basically connect today's, you know, social issues with what happened on September 11th, 2001. So, you know, similar to how there's the argument right now where some people say all lives matter, people decided to get the trend All Buildings Matter going, and it was pretty much a number one trend all throughout the day on 9/11.
Is that for people that were, you know, upset about the two buildings going down, it was like, hey, all buildings matter. Hashtag all. It was a troll.
Yeah,
it was trolling people, and I really didn't get the point.
Well,
I mean, I get the point.
Tying today's
classless.
Social issues, you know, with how everybody says, you know.
But all buildings do matter, and all lives do matter. I mean, I don't.
I think their point is that, well, we're talking about those two buildings right now.
Exactly. And so that's what, you know.
But
the,
who
was
saying, I want to talk about these buildings and these two buildings only right now?
Well, I mean, that's really what 9/11's about. And it's not just those two buildings.
There's background action.
It's the Pentagon.
So, Brandon, what's going on over there?
Oh, Kristen needs to grab some things. There's a little vermin around here.
Vermin, oh.
Let's see. Just saw someone pretty cute walk by, but I could only see her hair.
Back up.
Check
yourself. I guess it just seemed like a rude troll. It just seemed, I don't know why.
It was a rude troll.
I don't know. Why are people so rude? Why do people have to be so, I mean, I don't even know why. Are people sitting around thinking that I'm so mad about people saying all lives matter, I got to find some way to get them back.
No, it's just a troll, like you said. It's just
yeah,
rude.
And you know what? I think it was a troll that was probably some teenager or kid in their 20s who doesn't remember the impact, who didn't feel the way a lot of people felt, similar to how a lot of people couldn't feel the way that individuals felt when Pearl Harbor happened. But, you know, that was one of those moments that we all have our own individual personal story and we have our own feelings about it. And when you get a, you know, someone who was only 1 or 2 years old when it happened, they can make these jokes about it and they don't care. It doesn't matter to them.
You know what I hate about both situations? Well, actually, not even both situations. I'll just go with all lives matter. Is that I don't think if you're one of those people that responds to Black Lives Matter by saying, I don't like it because all lives matter. I don't think that means that that person is saying that, you know, I'm really not concerned about those lives that they're referring to. I think they just don't like the specificity of it, or it just for some reason doesn't feel right. And Black Lives Matter has been, it's become a very sort of, I don't want to say controversial, but it's become something much larger than what it originally was.
Well, and the feeling on the other side of that is that those people just don't really care to hear the message then if they're saying that.
Well,
I'm just saying that's what they say, so.
I think the message is pretty loud and clear at this point. I mean, really? In fact, actually, you know what? As far as people being irritated by, because I saw it, I tweeted something about the game today, and I got a couple people jacking me for, what are you watching the game for? Like, I'm an asshole for watching football.
How dare you?
Why? I guess because
start
of
depriving yourself of things you enjoy, Drew.
The pregame thing and the end racism in the end zone or whatever. I think a lot of people, some of those people, I don't want to get into this whole conversation again, but I think some of those people are worn out on the idea that this is the only thing that matters and it has to be in their face all the time.
I will say, back to just being rude, if you don't like the moment of silence between the two teams on Thursday where they're joining arms, there's no anthem playing.
I don't think it was a moment of silence. They booed, and they booed loudly, loudly Thursday night in Kansas City.
That's my point. That's kind of rude.
Yeah, it was rude. But it was their way of saying, enough. Play football. I don't like it. And I know people are appalled by that, but I was not that surprised.
Doesn't it seem then like the kneeling for the flag really isn't about the flag then? It's just they don't want to hear from anybody.
No, I don't believe that because
I don't agree with that. And that's – I'm sorry, Brandon. Go ahead.
Well, I just think that people associate all this together. Now we're to a point now where any action or social kind of statement in their football, they're going to just attribute that to the kneeling, and they're going to voice their opinion. A lot of people also said that the booing just so happened to be close to the microphone, and it wasn't that big of a deal. Not many people in the stadium heard it at all. But it was pretty loud on the broadcast.
I don't want to be lectured at either, but I would genuinely shut the fuck up during a moment of silence.
I would too. I just don't think there's any decorum for anything anymore. Anybody feels that expressing their opinion. And I'll tell you another place this happened last night, and I couldn't fucking believe it. I'm watching this coverage of these two police officers in Compton, who some guy just walked up to the side of a car and shot both police in the head. One of them was a female cop, which, by the way, I don't know why that hit me. It's like a female, which is stupid. I guess that's sexist of me, but it was like, I don't know. For some reason, it seemed even worse. It's like a 31-year-old female cop, and I think it was her first year on the job. Ugh. And I just thought of this, you know, empowered female who became a police person or woman, whatever, and some fuck face shooting her in the head, and the other cop was shot. And so at the hospital, there were police that were guarding the hospital because people were trying to get there to protest. And I'm like, protest what? And these people, and I watched really just a couple videos of it, and they were incredibly, I mean, they're so rude you can't even believe it's happening. They're going oink 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 and fuck the police and it's gonna be.
I hope they die.
Yeah, I hope they die. And next time it's gonna be you and it's gonna be more and more and more and you know I hope we're here again. And it was like, you know, you're just a complete fuck. I mean, honestly, it's like what are you trying to prove that you can be the biggest asshole in the world?
Apparently, well they won.
And by the way, these people, they're supposed to be so afraid of the police, and yet they're baiting them. All they're doing is baiting them, baiting them, baiting them. And one guy, I think, unholsters his weapon, and it's like, ooh! It was just, oh, God. It was
awful.
Yeah, you know, it was one of those things, why am I even watching this? And I did turn it off.
Last I seen, though, the two police officers are both out of surgery, good. But there's no indication on whether they'll survive or not. But the video of it is pretty brutal. There is video of it out there.
It is horrifying. I mean, just unbelievable. And, to, you know.
It's similar to that one in New York. Remember when the two cops in New York were sitting there?
Yeah.
Is that like 4 years, 3 years ago?
I know. It's incredible. But that, what did that, just the general rudeness of people and. There's just no decorum about anything. I mean, we're just one big society of trolls. And, you know, I've reached a point where I don't like sending any tweets out that have the potential to be trolled because it's just like, I just don't want to be part of it.
That's every tweet.
Not really. Most of my tweets, you know what I did tweet yesterday? I reluctantly tweeted it. I tweeted out, because I thought it was interesting. I tweeted out the New York Yankees pitcher was like finishing his throw to the plate, mm-hmm. and he had an NYPD hat on for 9/11. It was on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And actually, I'm going to read my tweet because I was just trying to stay out of the fray, but I just thought I just wanted to get it out there. Because people were trolling it immediately like, oh, baseball's getting political.
It already just was.
Like just like the All Buildings Matter thing.
It already was getting political.
Is it really political to thank the police for 9/11?
Oh, I just meant in general. I mean, it's already political.
So I tweeted, it says the Yankees are wearing first responders hats today for the anniversary of 9/11. And there's the NYPD hat on the pitcher throwing there. And so I tweeted, because I saw all these sarcastic comments, a lot of sarcastic, get politics out of baseball comments. Some serious, question mark? But I think honoring first responders on 9/11 only is fairly innocuous. I guess we'll find out. And let's see. Did I get some shitty comments here? I had to look up the word innocuous, Jeff says. Drew, I don't think honoring first responders is really political, is it? I mean, isn't that funny that would even cross my mind? But I guess it does.
It's not.
I agree. It's 9/11. I was surprised it feels forgotten to me. I saw All Buildings Matter. How stupid. Money printing machine goes brrr. What does that mean?
I don't know. Oh, maybe it's because they'll sell that hat. And A-Rod will make a killing at his concession stand.
And then Marv says, blow it out your ass. I guess that's to me. This show would have tripled.
Social media and Twitter's what's destroying this country anyway.
Yeah, and then some people get trolly in the last few comments. Yeah, whatever.
That didn't work out well, did it? That didn't work out well at all, did it?
I guess I should have not tweeted it out if I was trying to avoid the fray. Here's some Patricia comments. Lines Matt Patricia asked if there's something in his coaching that isn't happening enough in the fourth quarter.
All of it. Any of it. All of it.
His answer is, I don't think so. I think I probably got one of the biggest plays in the fourth quarter in the history of the NFL.
Huh?
I think I got probably one of the biggest plays in the fourth quarter in the history. What does that
mean? I think he's probably talking about that interception to win the Super Bowl.
Oh really? Please. Against Seattle?
Oh, really, Matt?
The Malcolm
Jenkins
one? I don't
know. Did he make the play call?
Was he on the field? I didn't even know he was a player.
Well, you know, no, but the story behind that play, right, is that they knew they called that, and so they practiced it. So fine, you get credit for that. But what have you done for?
Was that 3 years ago?
Was that the Lions? That would have been my response.
That's pretty funny.
That's not the Lions.
So he's still got an ego on him? Wouldn't you think he'd be humble to all but Jesus by now?
No. He's an NFL head coach. Name an NFL coach that's got any humility.
And by the way, that last Super Bowl he coached, didn't he give up like 50 points or something?
I don't remember. Which one was the last one?
The Eagles, maybe, when the Eagles beat him?
Well, I don't remember.
Didn't they score a shit ton of points on the Patriots? I thought they did.
You mean with the that trick play at the end?
Philly special.
Yeah. Was that his last one there?
I just thought he gave up a lot of points his last Super Bowl. It would have been 2017, whatever that Super Bowl was.
Yeah. Yeah, 41-33.
Okay, that's a lot of points. Because they lost, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
To Big Dick Nick.
Anyway, the...
sat on the bench today, across from him.
Yeah, I was shocked that he didn't play, but
I was shocked they didn't put him in.
So, I'm reading a lot over the weekend, and, you know, all this stuff is coming up. These two cops shot. These people want to protest, and just all this trolling, nasty, just all buildings matter, and it's kind of debilitating, because I really, honestly, the two police being shot, seeing that video, I just felt really bad about it. I mean, I guess that's just the news. You know, it's just one shitty thing after another, and when you're sort of in the middle of it,
very fun. Yeah. You
can't avoid it. And I'm usually pretty, not completely numb to it, but I'm pretty numb, having done this for as long as I have. But I was trying to sort of crystallize in my mind, because I feel like I really do understand what's happening, you know, with this moment of silence, because that was so bad. I mean, it was shitty. It's like, okay, you got two teams holding arms, a moment of silence, and I if someone had told me it happened, I wouldn't have been surprised.
Not to mention, your team just won the Super Bowl last year.
Oh, true. And
you were probably going apeshit for it.
So,
particularly for your black quarterback, too.
I thought it was. I don't think that even registers with people. I don't think people really want to see football that way. But having it, you know, the Kaepernick thing in 2016, I think a lot of people like to think that, oh, that's all over. We're just football now and whatever. But of course, we're revisited, and they did a long thing on the Fox pregame show, which. Did you watch that?
No, it's just laughing. I watched 2 minutes of the Fox pregame show, and it was the 2 minutes where Jay Glazer called them the Washington Redskins, and then the Washington football team. Good job, Glazer.
Well, on the Fox pregame show, they spent about 3 minutes explaining, you know, the social justice. And I'm like, do they really need to do this story? Really?
I kind of think maybe they do, because someone's still booing at a moment of silence.
That's not going to make people boo less.
It's not because they don't know about it, but when is it going to sink in? Like, maybe you should try to listen to what people have to say and respectfully listen disagree.
Okay. I think this is where you know, I'm not saying this is where I'm coming from, but I think I understand what's going on. You have a lot of young, very wealthy, successful African-American football players that have a certain image in people's minds. You know, there's been, over time, certainly a lot of, you know, assaults of women and just unpleasant things that get very ignored. And there tends to be privilege with that position because you're a pro football player. I mean, we revere these guys. We do. You have a crowd that is largely white, leans conservative, and they're being lectured to by young African Americans who are wealthier than they are. And when they object, they're told that they're wrong. And the fact is, the people in the stands are the customers, and the product is the people on the field. Now, if they want to change, there's no way to change that arrangement either.
And don't go to the game.
And they, you know, maybe some of them won't. I don't know. I think if you had young, wealthy white athletes lecturing black people about something, I don't think they would like it either.
Here's the thing. A lot of them are white. A lot of them are talking about it. You know, Stafford took a knee today.
NFL is 77% is it 77% African-American or non-white?
I don't know.
I just don't think people want to be lectured to, but just so much. I think people love lecturing right now. And I'm not saying it's a lecture. I'm just saying I think that's what is happening, is people who are probably doing pretty well because they're going to football games. They probably have season tickets. They probably do fairly well. They're not doing anything like those football players who make lots and lots of money. And to be lectured to by this group, like, you know, you are all complicit and, you know, you better fix this. You should do something and you should care. I think, well, do I just don't think it really goes over.
They realize that it's being broadcast? I mean, they're not directly talking to the people in the stands.
You mean in terms of their booing?
Yeah, you're saying that them talking. Well, saying the player. You're acting like the player's message is just for the people in the stands.
Well, I just no, it's not. But I remember when a lot of people didn't like Kaepernick kneeling, and it was like, oh no, you don't understand. He's not just kneeling for the national anthem. He's not. He's protesting. It's like, no, that's not. I don't need you to explain it to me. I know what he's doing. I don't like it. I don't like somebody kneeling for the national anthem. I think that was more about what it was.
I will say this for Kaepernick, though. He did, you know, originally he sat like a total load on the side during the anthem. And I can't remember. I wish I could remember the guy's name. Wrote the open letter to say, hey.
I know. That was covered on the Fox story
did they cover
today.
It
yeah,
too?
They said, okay. Colin Kaepernick, upon the advice of. I have to tell you, well,
I don't know why that story bothered me today.
It was like,
point being,
oh my God, I have to listen to this again. And it's not because it's not a worthy message. Like you can't fucking get away with it. You can't get away from it.
But the point being that he's willing to listen to the other side about what's wrong with his message. But there's a lot of people that don't want to hear or even listen to the message. There's a guy.
I think honestly, when the George Floyd thing happened, I think that the approval and the good feelings towards doing something was extremely high, and it has withered because it's either overdone or other things have come to intrude on it. But I should shut up about it because honestly, when they were doing this pregame thing, I was like, oh, God, again? Because they went through the whole sort of the history of Kaepernick to George Floyd. I was like, oh, God. And well, Michael Strahan explaining it to me, too.
Well, Herb Street just found out, so apparently people.
Somebody else just found out, too. I'm trying to think of who it was.
Well, but see, there's a lot of people that just don't want to listen to that. That maybe there might be a problem. Maybe there, you know.
Well, it's a message though that you cannot get away from it ever. It's like it's the only message. I mean, what else are people talking about? The coronavirus, BLM.
I'm just upset because we lost one of our fantasy football players because of it.
Why is that?
Because he was that upset over the booing. He's like, "Fuck this, man! I'm done with the NFL." From the other side, because he's black.
Dropped out of your league?
It's what it looks like, yeah.
Wait, he dropped out of the league? Yeah, out of the fantasy league?
Sent a message to all of us.
I've got to pick a good fantasy team.
I don't want to read it on the air because it's his words, but he was pretty just bummed out by the whole fact that, you know, he feels like these people can't even tell you what they're booing about, and they just
I think they just want to see a football game, and they don't really want all the other stuff every week when they watch football.
Believe me, Steve's no shrinking violet either, but he was just like, I'm just fucking done with it. And then during the Lions game at the end, he wrote, hey, did y'all see that Nuggets come back today? I think Joel knows that he was watching the NBA game, because the Nuggets did come back against the Clippers to push to Game 7.
Oh, boy.
So I guess he wasn't watching the Lions. Knowing Steve, he probably
maybe he was happier watching the Nuggets than,
sure
you know,
wasn't.
He's making the same point.
I'm
he's
just
sick
saying,
of it for a different reason. People get weary of things they like for whatever reason.
Reading what he wrote on Thursday, it's like, oh, okay, there's a perspective from a black person on the booing that I haven't heard from anywhere else. I don't know. I just thought it was interesting. Personally, I don't want to be lectured to either. When I was here when that game was going on, and I was a little perturbed by how long it was taking for fucking kickoff to get going.
Yeah, it was.
But
it
you
was,
know what? The people in the stadium don't see all those videos, don't hear all the talking heads, don't have to hear.
Yeah, but they've been alive
the former
since
Patriot
George
that's
Floyd
on
died,
there.
So they've seen that plenty. And, you know, and racism, and we're all in this, or we all need to solve this, or whatever the other end zone says, which was in Ford Field today, too.
You know, it's funny. I didn't even know. Maybe that's part of the problem. It's just, look, I think what the NFL is doing is just lip service anyway.
Exactly.
But the
players aren't even all together on it. You got a team that stayed in the locker room and a team that was on the field on Thursday night. It's like, what the fuck? I thought this was supposed to be what you wanted.
Seven teams so far. No, because it's up to the individual players what they want to do.
No, I mean, I thought the playing the two anthems was to make everyone happy.
I don't think anybody wanted that except for Jay-Z and and Roger Goodell.
Why doesn't Jay-Z canvas his players?
They're stuck now because they can't get rid of it after 1 week, but it was totally pointless.
I got to tell you, having two national anthems is the dumbest fucking thing. And I'm not saying because it just added the black national anthem. There should be one national anthem, and somebody should fucking write it right now.
Not play it because nobody can handle it. Nobody can treat it with respect.
Maybe. Yeah, I know. We don't do the Pledge of Allegiance in school anymore, do we?
I don't know. Do they?
I don't think so.
I think Shar's school does.
Oh, do they?
I think they do.
I thought the under God was too much.
I stopped doing it in like fourth grade, third grade.
I remember we did it, but the under God is upsetting to very many people. So,
Catholic schools, baby.
Well, did you see Chris Evans's penis over the weekend?
No. I saw that he leaked it.
He leaked it? I thought it was an accident.
That's what I mean. He accidentally, because did he show his phone, like the screen of his phone when he's scrolling through his photos? And there was another one, too, about like a meme that he had of himself about keeping...
keeping pussy safe or something?
Protecting the pussy or something like that.
Nice.
The funniest thing I saw with that was that someone insisted, and people were agreeing with this, that it was his brother. And I'm like, why does Chris Evans have pictures of his brother masturbating on his phone?
Doesn't. Well, I don't know. Someone can see penises on my phone. None of them are mine.
Hey, can I see the pictures you have of your brother pounding off? What? That's not normal? What are you talking about?
Not anything about
You might want to finish that statement, Mark.
Thank you. And they're pictures that Jim sends to me. And that just happened to me the other day when I was scrolling through with the girls. And here pops up one really quick next to a wine bottle.
I think it means she wants a picture of your dicture, a snapshot of your fat cock, a portrait mode of your Rockin' Jode.
Of course, Mark Ruffalo had to comment on it and attach Trump to it somehow.
I know, he made it better. It's so nice of Mark.
He wrote, "Bro, while Trump is in office, there's nothing you could possibly do to embarrass yourself." See, ellipses, silver lining.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think Chris Evans gave a crap.
No, that dude, shit, man. Probably he's got the world by the balls.
He's got 5 million
Captain
people.
America.
Yeah.
There was a...
It's America's penis.
Candace Cameron Bure picture with Valerie Bure has his hand on her boob.
Yeah.
Firmly on her large right boob. And Saget Ed actually tweeted out, "Congratulations on second base."
God, he's funny.
I don't know why. Why was that picture put out?
I don't know.
She put it on her Instagram, and I think the backlash really came from, you know, her and her brother are very, very involved in religion and church.
Oh,
and
Kirk,
I think she got
Kirk
backlash
Cameron?
From other people from church who were just like, "That's inappropriate. How could you?"
Where's Kirk Cameron now?
Probably making another sweet God movie. Remember that? What was that last one he just made?
No, he turned. Why did he turn into such a twink, man? He did really well. As a kid actor.
Mike Seaver was a badass for a couple seasons.
Yeah, Boner needs to get to him and get him back on the right path. Remember his best friend Boner.
A little problem with the Bachelor over the weekend. His best friend.
You know, did you ever watch Growing Pains?
I did not.
Really?
No.
Oh yeah, you're.
I missed the '80s.
I missed the '80s.
Well, pretty much on TV, I did. For some reason, I did. I don't know. Because you talk about these shows all the time. I go, God, Growing Pains. I don't think I would have ever watched Growing Pains at any age.
Really?
I don't think so. I don't know. Maybe not.
Did you watch Growing Pains, Brandon?
I did. I really liked it a lot. And that's actually where I first saw Leonardo DiCaprio.
That's right. Yeah. It's one of his big, his first show, wasn't it?
It's weird. I was listening to Jim Carroll.
Show me that smile. Don't waste
another. Oh, it's Alan Thicke. That's right.
Judith Light, right? Is that Judith Light? Judith Light. What was she on? Who's the Boss? Is that Judith Light? Anybody? Nobody? Huh?
Yeah, I think so. There's Kirk. Oh, he's so cute.
What a stud. Tracy Gold, that just reminded me. You know, does that remind you of anything, Tracy Gold?
Well, she got in trouble for some things.
Oh, Larry King.
There's a Growing Pains movie? Yeah, Larry, it already aired. There's a Growing Pains movie?
Did you hear from people in the industry or, like, support from Growing Pains?
Yeah, absolutely.
People?
We were doing publicity for the Growing Pains movie a month after the accident, so...
There's a Growing Pains movie?
Yeah, we did a reunion movie when I was, like, 9 months pregnant with my baby.
When is that going to air?
It aired.
That's really great.
No, why was Tracy Gold in trouble, Brandon?
Drugs, right? Oh. No? Was it drugs?
I can't recall. I'll look it up, but I'm pretty sure it was a DUI, maybe.
Oh, okay. She was arrested. Let's see. Oh, 2004, arrested for drunk driving after rolling her SUV down a California freeway embankment, arrested by CHIPS, charged with felony count of driving under the influence. She was driving a 2001 Yukon. I don't care about that.
She battled anorexia for a while, too. And
doesn't say what rough, she was on, though.
Rough post-sitcom career. She looks pretty good right now, though.
Yeah, she does.
Thankfully to that Growing Pains movie.
Well, that The Bachelor is going to have a problem with this one because if you remember Colton, Bachelor Colton, who jumped the fence?
The Virgin?
Yeah, the Virgin. He seemed so... What's the word? So understanding and so...
Woke?
What's
caring?
What'd you say?
Woke.
Yeah, caring and loving and all those great, wonderful things. And he wanted to wait for the right one, which it turned out was Cassie. If you remember the ending, it was a very convoluted ending with Cassie eventually succumbing to his advances. And they were going to live happily ever after, but...
After the jump.
But then...
Wait, explain it. Guy asked Brandon about... Because I don't watch The Bachelor, and I know... you guys love it. Colton, I didn't know that was the girl he had chose.
Yeah.
And Brandon said, yeah, that's the one he jumped over the fence for, the really dramatic moment.
Yes.
Where he tried
they
to
milked
leave
the hell
show.
Out of that jump, yeah. too. They promoted it every week, and it happened on the final episode.
And he also, he knocked over a couple garbage cans.
Whoa,
he was so
what?
Angry. So anyway, Cassie has filed a restraining order against Colton.
Yeah, that didn't work out well, did it? That didn't work out well at all, did it?
Some very threatening text messages, stalking, harassing, and he put a tracking device under her bumper.
An asshole.
I know. What? Why? You know, honestly.
How controlling.
I had a conversation with someone. I won't say who, even if I could remember, but I can't remember. It's probably somebody red shovel oriented. I'm just guessing. But I don't remember. And it was about how I wish we could put the microscope on, you know, and I don't remember what the subject was. Somebody last week was saying, why don't we spend more attention on child molestation? Because, you know, I was talking about intervention and how so many people with these
problems. You're talking to me about it.
Well, no, but this wasn't what I was talking about. But we did talk about that. And, you know, why is all the attention on this instead of, you know, what about this? And... The topic we were talking about was these controlling, stalking motherfuckers who are, you know,
sure,
can say anything, but until they do something, you can't do anything about it. I don't understand why. I mean, honestly, putting a tracking device under her car, that under her bumper,
mm-hmm.
that there should be some penalty for that.
Pretty shitty. Well, there is, isn't there?
No, she got a restraining order, but that's for the stalking and threatening messages.
There's no law against...
I don't know. I don't...
Putting something on someone's car?
I don't think so.
Why? So
they didn't say he was charged with anything.
Why does he do what other bachelors do and just go for number two?
Exactly.
Or number three.
No, he really fucked himself up on the Summer Bachelor show. He could have been banging people down in islands all summer long.
Wow.
But, I mean, that's a real sick motherfucker.
I like this part, this one line. She claimed that he took obsessive walks to her apartment complex and loitered in the alley outside her bedroom window at her parents' Huntington Beach house.
The fuck?
At 2 a.m. What a weirdo!
That's scary. I mean, that's really...
Yeah, it is.
I don't know why that's not a bigger deal.
Here's another good movie, Ed. Colton sent an anonymous text message to her and himself pretending to be the victim of the anonymous stalker. Like when it was... when she claimed it was, you know, him doing
is
it.
Is that funny? Oh, she pulled a Smollett.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Wow, that was a good move.
Some of the harassing text
might
messages
have been a good move.
Included accusing her of hanging out with an old ex-boyfriend.
Ooh!
What a turd. Isn't he a stud? Can't he just go find any other piece of
absolutely.
Ass?
Absolutely. He's so a good-looking guy. Her? He played pro football. He's, you know, he's got everything going for him. What the fuck is wrong with him?
Play pro football. Did he really?
Okay, not really. Okay. He almost did. He played exhibition, I think. But that reminds me, NBC, bad. Did anybody see Dateline Saturday Night on Oscar Pistorius?
No.
No, my lady, I did not.
No, we haven't heard about Oscar Pistorius in so long.
Oh, I'm out of jail now, right?
Oh, God. Remember
that snot?
Oh,
my God.
Yeah, remember when he threw up in court when they were describing... Hey! I know, that's probably... How did he make himself throw up, though?
He was pretending
to cry. Penny in his throat? He swallowed a penny?
Yeah, a penny. That'd make you throw up?
And I do think, honestly, that all that just talk in court did disgust him and make him sick, but he fucking did it.
So what was the Dateline piece
okay,
on him?
Here's what was, they were sort of reviewing, like, where is he now?
She was so beautiful.
What happened? What really happened? And that entire country wanted this to be an accident. They really did. They loved Oscar Pistorius.
He was a hero.
He was a huge hero. He was a hero to handicapped people. He was a hero to disabled people. He was a hero to everyone. And
the Blade Runner.
And it turns out he was a lot more things than that. He was. He was a very possessive, controlling asshole, just like I was talking about a second ago. And Reva, I don't remember this. Tell me if you remember this. When she was locked in that bathroom stall, she was in her clothes because she was leaving. And she had her phone with her, too.
I knew
she takes their phone into the bathroom stall at 3:30 in the morning?
Well, I mean, I do. I sit on the toilet with my phone every day.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
my phone has so many particles, poo particles on it.
Yeah.
Never asked me to use my phone.
Yeah, gross. I mean, what's the point of going to the bathroom without your phone?
I don't know. I guess I didn't think.
What do you do? Read shampoo bottles?
Go to the bathroom and leave?
I think she was she was obviously going to the bathroom because she was trying to get away from him. She was wearing her clothes, and they seemed to feel that she had changed into her clothes to leave.
Yeah, well, we knew there was an argument. I didn't know she was dressed to leave, though.
Mm-hmm.
But
I never knew that either. And also, they said there was a horrifying scream after the first shot, which would mean you would know it was a woman screaming.
Yeah, 100%.
So why did he shoot her three more times?
I don't know, m'lady.
Because I was very mad.
It sounds to me like...
I loved Reba.
And I want to jump into the fray, but I'm giving the very serious part of the conversation.
Let Donald Trump say it. Let's see. I don't even know what this is about. It just says Donald Trump, Oscar Pistorius.
Can you believe that Oscar Pistorius brutally killed his girlfriend and he gets 5 years in jail and that's going to be reduced to 10 months? Ridiculous.
What?
That was back when he would give his thoughts on news.
That was why people liked him, because... Who didn't feel that way about Oscar Pistorius? Now, granted, he didn't always agree with him, but he was not afraid to speak his mind. And unfortunately, it's gotten a little carried away, I think. Maybe more than a little. But anyway, Oscar, she, the day before this killing, she'd had breakfast with her ex-boyfriend, which apparently Oscar was really, really upset by. And it sounds like that was what the argument was about. And people, they had like 12 witnesses that said they heard a male and a female screaming, mostly the male screaming. And then they heard the shot, and they heard the horrible scream, and then they heard more shots. So
I remember, I'm trying to think back.
As far as the intruder, though, what intruder locks himself in a bathroom stall? That's fucking ridiculous.
I don't know. I mean, it's all a lie.
Yeah, and it is. And Trump, in that quote, was actually...
I'm trying to remember.
What he said does not need to be fact-checked. He did get 5 years.
Yeah.
The judge agreed that it was an accident, that it was a mistaken identity, but that he got like a manslaughter, what's equivalent to a manslaughter charge there, 5 years. He was let out in 1 year to live under supervision at his uncle's house. And then... The prosecutors appealed the verdict. They were furious.
Yeah.
And they won the appeal, and they gave him 13 years. So he's back in prison.
Yeah.
Until his first chance to get out is 2023, I think, which is fucking bullshit.
I hope they
really get... that is bullshit.
What kind of prosthetics does he have in prison?
I don't know.
I mean, he doesn't get those blades, does he?
If he
I hope not.
He owns the blades. I don't know if he gets those. He might just get a standard wheelchair.
Maybe.
I don't know. He walks on his.
He walks
just fine on the nubs, and it's kind of weird looking.
That was part of the whole the shooting too, right? The trajectory of the gun,
yes.
Whether or not he had time to put on his blades or his regular prosthetics.
I got to tell you, I found that story even after all this time fascinating to see reviewed. And there was, God, there was some good true crime stuff.
Well, I remember Amazon Prime had did a big series on Oscar Pistorius.
Yeah, I remember
really,
that.
Really, really good.
Yeah, that was, in a lot of ways, it was hard to watch because, you know, I remember his story, and it was a great story. And, you know, you really, you know, rooting for, how can you not root for this guy? And then to right. find out that, well, I mean, you know, he's
some
really.
Some people feel that the blades help him run faster. I just, that could be one reason not to root for him.
They kind of work as a spring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. He was almost like the Hulk in that Hulk movie where he just bounds and gets so fast so far.
I remember this aspect to him, too. Aren't they longer than what his legs would be, too? So his stride is longer?
Well, it looks pretty damn long. So, I mean, he flies from one stride to the next. He flies like 10 feet.
He's got a very fast stride, which helps him go. But it also, if your legs are longer and your stride is the same, you're going to be further ahead.
So well, those things like, are really light, too.
Like he's currently 3'8". He's supposed to be 5'8".
And he's made
with
him like
his 6'10". Blades, he's actually 6'3".
Yeah. I don't think it was that extreme, but yes, it did. It was a few inches longer.
Hey, so what, being 6'3" probably helps him get some pussy, too.
Oh, yeah, m'lady. Those penis needs no prosthetic, m'lady. I'm 6'3", with blades. Snot. I don't have feet, I have
those
blades.
Buggers.
It's even cooler. I've got one full leg between these two. Some people, I understand, are getting their lower legs removed so they can get blades like me. Oh, it's that cool.
All three legs
my middle
the same
leg's
size.
Longer than the ones on the outside.
I was born with three legs, all the same size, m'lady.
M'lady.
Remember that? That's how you know, have to apparently address a court. That's the one. My one takeaway from Oscar Pistorius is that if you're ever in court in South Africa, you have to address the judges.
M'lady.
I don't know. Hopefully, it's not a guy. I don't
you
know.
You have to say it every time you say anything.
Yes,
too.
You do, m'lady.
So,
like
anyway, Dayline had a story on Friday night. It was about this Mexican American woman, Vanessa Guillen.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, soccer player in high school, strong, athletic, lifted weights. She just had graduated in the top 15% of her class, just a lovely young lady, and she joined the Army. And she went to Fort Hood, and on the 19th of April this year, she got engaged and told her mother that she couldn't wait to be a mom. And she's from a super close family, just a super, super close family, just a wonderful family. 3 days later, she's missing. And she'd gone to the armory at Fort Hood, and the guy who ran the arms room there said, yeah, she came and she left, and I thought she was coming back because she left her phone, purse, ID, everything. Yeah. So why wouldn't she come back? So anyway, Fort Hood, and this is what I hate the fact that the military metes out justice. I think it's bullshit. They always do a shitty job of it, don't they? I mean, how many times can you point to where the military fucked up a case?
Yeah. You mean with their own hearings?
Yeah, their own hearings, and they seem to favor their own criminal military people. Yes. Mm-hmm. So it takes 2 days to get.
They did a good job with Bergdahl, right? They messed that up too.
They did. They mess it all up. So then the Criminal Investigative Department, the CID, gets notified. The military police are contacted. It takes way too long to get. So the family, meanwhile, is going, hey, she's on this base, and how do you not know where she is? What's going on? You know, and they, well, he was in the armory last. That's the last we saw of her. And they're like, well, is anybody searching all these? But the family's going crazy. Mm-hmm. And they get support. They get all kinds of support. They get celebrities supporting. What's her name? I can't think of a huge superstar who's, I believe, from Mexico originally. But anyway, billboards, you know, Vanessa Guillen. Where is Vanessa? And it turns out she had told her mother, who sort of kept this quiet for a few days, that she was being sexually harassed by a sergeant.
Yeah.
And her mother said, well, you've got to tell someone. And she said she feared retribution. And as it turns out, Fort Hood has this horrible, horrible history. And again, why do they handle their own? They do a terrible job. The numbers of, in terms of sexual harassment or assault, are gigantic. The numbers of people who are punished is tiny. I mean, absolutely.
You can't handle the truth.
Juan Quiñones did the story. I thought he did a great job, and it was just disturbing as hell. So, turns out this guy running the armory arms room is Aaron Robinson, a specialist, And he said, you know, yeah, she came in, did her work, she left. That's crazy. I don't know what happened. And they're like, well, what happened to you? He said, well, I went to my girlfriend's to spend the night off the base. And so they talked to her, and she says, oh, yeah, yeah, he came here. He was here the whole night.
Which they weren't supposed to leave the base, right?
I'm not sure.
I thought because of COVID, they...
I don't think they were, Mark.
Supposed to leave the base.
So, for some reason, it takes another 3 weeks for two witnesses who said, yeah, that guy Robinson, Aaron Robinson, we saw him coming out of the arms room with a tough box, pulling a tough box behind him, which is big enough to hold a body.
Oh, boy.
And they interview him. He gives up his phone. I think I said they didn't find anything. Meanwhile, Equisearch is out there looking for her remains, because it's like, where the fuck is she? What, yeah. Is she not on the base? Where is she? She wouldn't leave the base. And Equisearch quickly finds some skeletal remains. It turns out that's another guy from Fort Hood who'd been missing a year and was murdered. They had called him AWOL. He was actually murdered.
Jesus.
So then finally... I think this is maybe a month and a half later, they said, yeah, there's kind of foul play involving Vanessa Guillen. Oh, it's terrible. And Equisearch continues to search for her in these wooded areas, and they find remains under cement.
Wow.
Out in the middle of nowhere, three different locations, her body is cut up.
Oh, God.
Odd question. Cement in all locations, too?
Cement, yeah, yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh.
A lot of work.
Yeah, well, he had time because Cecily Aguilar, who was his girlfriend, and this is another weird one. It's like Cecily Aguilar was married to another guy who she started playing around with, this Aaron Robinson. She didn't even know him that well. She'd just been with him a short time. After being pressured, she finally fesses up and says, yeah, he came and got me at my job. I think she worked at a liquor store, and he told me that he had bludgeoned her to death. And so I helped him cut her up and bury her. And
it's crazy.
They used a machete to dismember her. They burned the body. That didn't work. So they had to cut her up even more and bury her. They came back a second time and with the cement and buried her in three different places. So at that point, it's like, okay, where's this Aaron Robinson specialist? And, oh, what do you know? He's off site.
Oh,
he's left the grounds. And he's in a car, and they locate him, and they finally get him stopped. And guess what he does? He happens to pull out a gun, which they're like, what? Mm-hmm. How does he have a gun? And he shoots himself in the head, and it's over.
Mm-hmm.
So
they still don't know why.
Well, it sounds to me like he was sexually harassing her.
No, but why he killed her?
Because he was afraid she was going to report him for sexual harassment.
Well, that's nice logical response.
I mean, that's a theory. Yeah. But because she had told her mother, who she was very close to, that she was being sexually harassed, it sounded like it was bad. And it sounded like it was a regular thing. And she definitely feared retribution, and that was why she never reported it. So, you know, the military,
that's the problem, man,
just really could not quite put this thing together in any way, shape, or form. And as sorry as they say they are, they really did a horseshit job.
I did see if people watch the Lions game, because they made reference to the one Lions player who wore Ahmaud Arbery's name on the back of his helmet because it's his cousin. Of course, I forget which player it was.
Tracy
Walker.
Yeah.
So the NFL players are wearing names on the back of their helmets.
By the way, were they showing that today? Because I didn't even see
that. Not really.
That
was the only mention here in the Lions game. But I only bring it up because one of the Miami Dolphins had Vanessa Guillen's name on the back of his helmet.
Okay.
Which is nice. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know what it does or helps, but.
Well, I don't know either. I mean, she wasn't killed by a policeman. She's killed by a specialist. Yeah. And yeah, no, I mean, I'm glad. She should be remembered. She sounded like a really wonderful person.
Yeah, the whole thing sucks.
So. Then 48 hours. Did anybody see 48 hours?
You know, I started it and I fell asleep and I wanted to finish it, but today.
You got to watch
it. Today got away from me.
It's just fucking incredible. Oh my God, what a story. They start out by telling you about this.
What story?
This guy, David Thanes, I think is his name.
The house, right?
The house.
Okay, yeah. I remember that he was in love with this house.
Which, yeah, he was just nuts about this house. What happened was he was from Minneapolis. And there's a girl named Shantae from Orlando. And somehow they just start talking online, and the next thing you know, she... You know, you can play his 911 call. It was at the beginning. Oh, 48 hours.
I did catch his 911 call.
Yes,
I forgot about that.
And these detectives are just badging, going, "Yeah, you've been fake crying for seven or eight hours now. And when are you going to tell us what's going on?"
Well, didn't
they knew it was him? They knew.
Before I crashed, I remember too. Didn't he have a really crazy interview with the police?
He was interviewed for 14 hours.
Like he was super. Didn't he crash too in the middle of it?
I think it was a little bit of everything in that interview. He never said he did it, though, which is his lawyer says, he has maintained his innocence from the outset.
Why did he do it, though? That's what I guess I fell asleep.
We get to that.
It's over the house renovation.
Yeah. What happens is, and see if you can find the 911 call because it's worth hearing. He's such a, and actually some of the interviewing was funny, too. I mean, funny as funny can be, as that can be.
Well, it's a narcissist.
Oh, yeah.
It's a murderer.
Amazing. He's from Minneapolis. She's from Orlando. And they start talking online. And they showed some of the communication. And it was really, it's kind of strange on her end, I thought.
Oh, she like the just email? Sounded, wasn't there?
Yeah, she sounded like she was just really swept up by this guy and that communication they had. And then he goes to Orlando. And immediately he buys this house in this beautiful neighborhood for $608,000. It's a 4,000-square-foot home. The problem with the home was the upstairs bedroom. I guess it was languishing on the market because the upstairs bedrooms were too small.
Yeah.
And it's in this beautiful neighborhood. So anyway, he is going to completely, and he does, he completely guts the house on the inside to the point that this guy from a TV show called Zombie House Flipping or something, and he called it Zombie because it was like the house was a zombie till he fixes it up. I thought that was funny.
Are there too many house renovation shows when one needs to be called Zombie House Renovation?
There's a lot of them.
I like that name myself. I don't know. I can watch those shows.
There's so many of them.
I mean, there are a lot of them, yeah. Well, that's what DIY lives on, I mean.
Ugh, HGTV, man, yeah. I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's funny. I got hooked on that network for about a month, and then I was over it.
I like House Hunters.
Yeah, all those shows are kind of fun.
This is ridiculous. I love it.
So the guy from Zombie said, yeah, the stucco was what was holding the house up. He had taken so much down from inside that house. It was a shell. And he said it was a huge challenge, but I agreed to do it. And then he had started renovating it himself. And meanwhile, this girl, Shante, she, for some reason, he's living in the garage, and she's living in the above garage.
Yeah.
It sounded like the relationship may have cooled off a bit. Or he's living in the basement. And
the basement. With the dog, right?
Yes. And so she's pouring money into this renovation. He owns the house, and there's emails where she's saying, yeah, I got to be in the deed here. You know, if I'm going to put all this money in, he's like, I think it's fine just the way it is. And so it appears he's trying to fuck her on the house, because she's poured like $250,000 into this house. It's in his name. The deed is his name and only his name. Actually, his mother's name is on it, too.
That's right, yeah.
So, apparently, this is a real sticking point with them. She's found... do you have the 911 call? It's at the very beginning of the show, I think.
Okay, I didn't know if they did a longer version later. Because in the intro on 48 Hours is just... It's pretty quick, but I'll
it's play. His voice is just so funny. It's... Like the American Oscar Pistorius.
You're not buying it?
No, I did not buy it. It might be a longer one later on. I don't recall.
I'll look for it.
We could probably find it online.
Well, that's, yeah.
The house was beautiful. It was 4,000 square feet. Ooh. It had a pool.
She shops at the tight dress store, by the way, that lady, apartment. The realtor.
It was a great house. The only problem was upstairs. Some of the rooms were too small.
In the podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Functionality did not work for some families.
Oh, terrible wallpaper.
And why they'd want to renovate it.
When did you first meet Shanti and David?
Dave just called me on the phone and asked if I'd come by and take a look at the project. He said that they had done some work. I wasn't at all prepared for what I saw when I got there.
Are you okay?
They had fully disassembled this house to a degree that I'd never seen before.
Come it was on, rather house sucks.
It was largely wide open, like you're inside of a giant shoebox.
This house became more than just a project to David Tronis. It was his life. He obsessed on it.
Thanks for listening to the podcast.
House is the center point to the story and ultimately led to Shanti's demise.
Nice job queuing up the 911 call, by the way.
Call to 911 placed it approximately 3:51 p.m. on April 24th, 2018 by Dave Tronis.
Hello?
And David says that he came home and found Shanti floating in the bathtub.
Fake!
Why is she not feeding?
Did that story make sense?
The fakest 911
so bad.
Shanti was extensively beaten.
Yeah, the shit beat out of her. And strangled.
I want to see if I can find the full one.
So, the reason he was able to stay free for months is because her engagement ring that he had given her is missing.
Oh.
But nothing else. All these other things sitting out don't seem to be missing.
Oh.
So, let's see. I don't want to leave anything out here. This story was amazing. Oh, then the police, of course, know he did it. They know. Because they just know. And they discover, because they get a tip from somebody, that, hey, that David Tronis guy, you know, whose fiance had the shit beat out of her and killed her and all that.
He lived in a stupid house.
Yeah, that guy, he was a member of this bathhouse, this gay bathhouse.
What?
Yeah. In fact, I saw him blowing this guy.
What?
Yes.
I didn't expect that twist.
Yep.
What?
So it sounds like Shantae, who's a pretty girl, and had this cute little kid, a six-year-old kid, is like, oh, Jesus Christ. And it sounds like she found out the night before.
He's gay?
And her phone stops operating at 11:30 p.m. I mean, there's nothing. She goes dark at 11:30 p.m. Nothing after that. And 3:41 the next afternoon. Really? She didn't do anything with her phone all that time. Totally unusual.
Oh.
And then he finds her in the bathtub, dead. And it's like, breathing.
My phone works at the bottom of the pool.
Well, after they get this tip, they knew there was an argument. They didn't know what it was, and so they believe this is what happened. Then they get a search warrant for he's staying with his mommy.
Mm-hmm.
They get a search warrant for mommy's house, and they find the engagement ring in his suitcase.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, he had it.
It clearly slipped off her finger and fell in his suitcase one day.
And I think he's one of these narcissist types who just said, I'm getting that fucking ring back.
Sure.
And so he did. And
I'm giving it to a guy. It's very Christopher Watts-esque in a way. Was Trent Bolte in Florida at the time?
Poor Trent.
What?
I know. Trent just gets completely blown over in that story. It just acts like he had nothing to do with it. And I really believe Trent
deserves a bigger part of that story.
100%.
No doubt about it. So 11 months after this murder, well, first of all, the prosecution starts videotaping the outside of the house to see who's visiting him. Mm. What's he doing? Yeah. When's he coming back? And all this. And they notice that, who's that? And what's that car? And
why is that guy's pants so tight?
They do a little deep dive, and they find out that he's working with a private investigator. And so, of course, they start making contacts, like, what's going on with this guy? And then all of a sudden, his attorney, gets very uptight, and he calls this, there's a piece of evidence that I have in my possessions that I think I better turn over. And they're like,
I think so.
Really? 11 months later. And it turns out, the bed, it appeared, the police believed that the murder occurred on the bed because there were little things of blood, like on the bed post, on the side of the bed, strange places, which he had said were her period. It's like, what kind of period does this woman have?
Well, that's really weird. Yeah, that's just her period.
Yeah, she's got a squirting period. It's crazy.
Oh.
Sounds like someone's having their monthly.
Yeah, you guys don't know. It's called spotting.
I'm sorry. Anyway.
A little bit of spotting all over the sheets.
The attorney turns over the top sheet and the fitted sheet, the bloody sheets.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the bloody sheets that were on the bed.
It's quite a period.
That night, yeah. And then also turns over and they still don't quite understand this large thing. It looks like it's got it's like a plastic rope. It looked like it could have strangled somebody. There was no DNA on it, so obviously he had washed it by then. And so then he has not gone to court yet.
Really?
But they have him. I mean, he's fucking nailed. He's been in jail for 2 years. And
any of his Trent Boltys come out to talk?
Well, one of his cellmate came out to talk and said that he had admitted he killed her to him.
Oh, okay, cellmate. So,
and I think he said it was over the homo action.
Man, I can't.
I wish I'd never met him.
He was trying to, basically, it sounded like he was trying to scam this girl out of a lot of money. And she had a very successful business. She made a lot of money, but she had reached the end of her rope, like, how long is this renovation going to take? Jesus.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got.
Now, you know, he's not really renovating. He's spending his time blowing dudes.
And he won't put her name.
He got with her right after I ended things in May.
That voice, man.
He won't put her on the deed. So yeah, I mean, it's so weird. Fucked up. It was just what a wild story.
I cannot find this 911 call for the life of me, man. I want to hear the whole thing.
Well, you can play more of the interview with the police. It's probably fairly. It's probably fairly early in that 48 hours.
The police interview. Yeah, I mean,
these two chicks were just wailing on him.
He was doing a good job, though, wasn't he? They acted like he was doing such a great job.
Well, yeah. His fake crying was a little much.
Here was the only audio I could find of him.
There's got to be some way to get this effing bee out of my life.
Listen to the cojones on Trent Boltys.
Yeah.
I wish I'd never met him.
That is such a great line.
Wait, did he really fall asleep, too?
He
fell asleep.
Well, he was in there 14 hours. He probably was sick of talking. But he didn't have an attorney the whole time.
In Minnesota, David just ended a long marriage. But within months of
marriage... Oh, I forgot this part.
Probably for getting on with a guy.
...moved to Orlando. Dave fell in love with Delaney Park.
Oh, I mean, you know what? This is what I hate about it, though. Who cares about the house?
What house? You mean the...
The renovate. I know they're using it as a motive and for scamming her out of money, but...
Well, the first
spent too much time on the house.
The first wife was kind of interesting because she had all these intestinal problems, and he always cooked and fixed her drinks for her, and they thought that maybe he poisoned her. And then it turned out that Shante had an appendectomy, which oftentimes is mistaken for someone who has been poisoned. They get so much pain in their stomach, they think that they need their appendix out.
What an asshole.
Yeah, I know. The first wife said, no, absolutely not. And she's got all this chronic pain, which they believe may be from, you know, what happened or what he did to her. But it turns out, she's managing his money from prison. What do you know?
Really?
So she has a motive to be friendly.
Headquarters.
I'll get her as soon as I can.
Where he remained without a lawyer for 14 hours.
We got to figure this out together, okay?
Of course.
He didn't attempt to conceal anything.
Of course.
His attorney.
Zaleski is Dave's attorney.
Asshole.
He gave the law enforcement access to everything that they needed, everything that they wanted, and he laid himself out there for examination by all.
We want to say how sorry we are for your loss.
Well, we got fake crying.
At the start, Detectives
so
Teresa Sprague and Barb Sharp
seem
sympathetic.
Take a minute, okay? I know this is super tough.
They're very good at building
rapport. It's tough to fake cry for a long time.
And have a tremendous amount of experience. If you have a suspect who's willing to talk, you just hit play and sit back and let them go on and on and on.
This guy's in love with his glasses, by the way.
Dave's
who is that guy?
Prosecutor.
He took the dogs to a park in the afternoon, and after he returned...
He's blowing a guy in that park.
He found Shanti, still wearing her pajamas, floating in the tub.
So... I could hear the water is running. I see her laying. One of her legs is kind of sticking up and out a little bit. And it's just extremely awful.
Can you tell me what your address is?
He tells the detective that
3624 Mary Drive.
Couldn't get Shanti to breathe. She was dead when first responders arrived.
Dave has a lot to say. And a lot to say to try to convince the detectives that he wasn't involved in his wife's death.
I think something went wrong. Either she slept where she fell.
Oh, don't you love it when murderers offer their take on what could have happened?
I didn't do this stuff.
Very Bob Bichara. Like, Bichara
did such a great job. She blacked
out. Why did he agree to sit down and talk to these detectives without an attorney?
Because he had nothing to hide, and he didn't think that it would hurt him.
But the veteran detectives began to pick at his story and question how Shanti's bloody cheek and bruised eye came from a slip in the tub.
I don't have any explanation. This is what I found.
Somebody who slips and falls doesn't...
Now he's got to renovate that bathroom, too.
...of blood force trauma to focused areas in the head.
Detectives also had spotted blood on Shanti's bed and suspected that's where she had been killed.
Heads up.
Dave says the blood likely was from Shanti's period.
Gross!
It did get on the bedspread and it did get on the bed.
There was a lot of other evidence that would be inconsistent with this being blood associated with a menstrual cycle.
Well, another 3 days of this, probably.
Menstrual
autopsy
cycle?
Later,
blood coming out of her, wherever.
Strangled. But Selesky says, as frustrating as it may have been to authorities, Dave can't explain Shanti's injuries, not because he's lying, but because he simply doesn't know.
He took his best guess based upon what he come to find.
I hate this
He doesn't
lawyer.
Know what happened, is the point.
Shut up.
The detective...
Well, then why is he guessing how his wife died? You wouldn't act that way. I guess we all grieve differently.
Yes, we do.
Is there more worth watching? With
yeah, play some more of these
Absolutely
questions.
Not.
Did you harm Shanti in any way?
Absolutely not.
I mean, besides murdering
Sharp
her?
And Sprague also questioned his timeline. Dave says that he called 911 about 5 minutes after he found Shanti.
You've got to help us understand.
But detectives insist that doesn't match what they found at the house.
There's no splashing of water anywhere in the bathroom. The inside of the tub is dry, completely dry. And she's damp. She's not even wet. So you got to help us. Can you do that?
Oops.
I've
told you everything.
Based upon observations. And they're moving forward based upon these assumptions.
They try to zero in.
Get her bow tie.
With their obsession, they're kind of trying to challenge him with his story to see if he was the murderer.
Was she about the house?
No.
But given the sorry state of the house,
she wasn't pissed about the house at all.
I don't know why she wouldn't be.
Something to do with Shanti's murder.
I can't imagine how stressful it must have been. You know, not living in the home you want to live in, and it's taken 2+ years.
Yeah, and you want to kill that lady.
I'm sick to death about what happened, but nothing happened today because of. There was no
change clothes
whatsoever.
And he says,
it's like they gave him a NASA
Shanti
onesie.
Doesn't
it?
Just like,
that her name wasn't on the truss.
Like a NASA hazmat suit.
So we had kind of talked about it and debated it, and we finally just said it doesn't really matter. Let's just move forward.
Teresa and Barb are tenacious.
Why would it take
that? Wait, play this part.
Stop.
They're well-versed in interrogation techniques. You know, we saw the good cop, bad cop. We saw manipulation.
Barb Sharp even moves her hand to Dave's knee and adopts a more subtle tone.
But that's not going to turn him on.
No, he wants to throw up.
We can't help you until you help us.
Before Teresa Sprague begins another attack.
Yes.
She treats you like a landscaper, like the pool boy. Ooh. Probably because she's bringing in the money.
As the hours tick by,
what do you want your mom to think about you?
They try anything they can to get him to confess.
Are you religious? Want to pray?
This almost became a game of psychological warfare in that interview room.
Dave began the interview by saying how happy he had been with Shanti.
I didn't do it!
But almost 8 hours into the interrogation, the detectives aren't buying it.
And you claim to love
the great sleuth.
I would be under the table in a ball if I was in love with that woman and she was dead. I would be inconsolable.
Yeah. Do you think that
he hasn't done anything wrong
because he didn't act the way detectives wanted him to act?
Oh, time and time again.
You know, you fake cried for about 7 or 8 hours. And not one tear came out of your eyes. Not one.
There's a lot of conclusions being drawn off of what they considered to be.
He was caught. I'm very proud to say we caught
him. It was a complete and total exoneration.
That is so commonplace. These people are crying. It's like, what? It doesn't look like you're crying. No. Sounds like you're crying. Sure don't look like it.
Yeah, the no tear cry.
Yeah. The famous no tear cry.
Dick. So when does he get sentenced?
They haven't even had the trial yet, but they're going to, he's so nailed.
You're going to have a stream of his boyfriends come up there.
Hopefully.
I don't know why that makes me laugh really hard. See, he's really good at putting on a front and lying because he did it with his homosexuality.
Yeah, I swear, I would think that would be so, what a job to lure this woman into this relationship and suck all this money out of her, and he has no interest in her whatsoever, sexually.
He had to have nailed her, though, right?
Yeah, I'm assuming so. She claimed she was madly in love with him, and she told her family, and he met her family, and they liked him, and... It was really strange. Really. But why wouldn't he do that to a dude? Then he could have boofooing and having a great time.
Especially that dude.
Great guy.
Especially that dude was handy around the house. Could finish that upstairs really quick.
He's obviously likes men. I mean, what's better? If you got one penis, what's better than two penises?
3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
It's a slippery slope.
Through food.
Your guys.
And penis.
It's a slippery slope to peni.
I mean, guys have money, too. It makes sense.
It's funny. He goes out and purposely tries to date a contractor to finish that house.
That'd be a smart move.
Brandon, what's your dinner? I saw you chowing down. Did you tell us yet?
Oh, it was some fish, and some potatoes, and some salads.
Why are you promoting Grandview Auto, by the way? Or what is that? Roundview? What?
Pondview?
Pondview Auto?
Pondview? Oh, it's just, you know, if anybody wants to send me hats, I got a pretty misshaped head. So when I find a hat that fits my head, I hold on to that sumbitch. And this happens to be my buddy's body shop way up north in Lum, Michigan. And he gave me one, and I love it. Pondview Auto.
Why is your head misshapen?
I don't know. It's got this weird...
Do you have a cone head?
Yeah, and I don't know why it is, but like the back left portion of my head has just this weird... just misshaped to it.
Fascinating.
And I also kind of got small head, so I have to kind of wear like small / medium size instead of the medium / large. Otherwise, I look really silly in a hat. And I got my hair cut, and
ooh,
so
let's see.
Yeah, and so
just kidding, I don't want to see. I don't.
Hats don't fit on my head much. Very good right now.
You have a huge hat head right now. Vicious hat head.
Looks great.
Did you guys hear about Detroit Slut Walk?
Yeah, they do it every year. They did it this weekend, right?
Yeah, and, you know, I saw a picture of it, a couple pictures, and it didn't match what they described. They said that the women, okay, it's about ending rape culture and victim blaming.
Slut shaming, yeah.
And they said that the people marching were wearing provocative clothes, but I didn't really see that in the picture.
No.
And the other thing was that they're taking back the word slut.
Cool.
Now, is that really a good idea to take back the word slut? Something like, hey, slut, how you doing?
Let's face it,
really has not worked very well with the N-word. Because what happens is when people hear people saying and singing the N-word all the time, they think it's okay for them to say it, and it doesn't work.
But I'm all for women being more out there with their sexuality. Why not?
I'm just, my random guess is going to be that taking the word slut back is not going to work.
My guess is, this is just judging on the pictures that I've seen, is that I don't think many of them have been called sluts, have they? No, maybe they're overly promiscuous.
Slut.
I don't know. I just can't comment.
I just think
I don't know these ladies.
I don't know the story. That guy would have been great. That guy would have been great at the slut walk.
AKA Little Miss Slut.
I just have a feeling some people would see those pictures and say,
believe me, she would not be my first choice, that I can tell.
Well, he would say that. I guess pretty clear.
I don't know, you know. It happens. I've seen girls do this.
Has anyone taken a look at Netflix Cuties that everyone's so upset about?
I'm really glad you brought this up. Because I'm really confused by this.
I'm very confused as well. The internet was going bonkers over Cuties on Netflix over the weekend, and the only thing I could grasp from it is everybody felt like it was kind of pedophilia.
Yeah, it's sexualized young females.
So I saw this trending on Friday, and I like, okay, I'll watch the trailer, and I watched the trailer. And granted, I didn't watch the whole movie, but it was one of those things. Do you remember when Jessica Simpson had a picture of her daughter in a bathing suit?
Oh, yeah, the little 5-year-old or something.
And everyone's like, oh, my God, you're sexualizing your daughter.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, that's you sexualizing her daughter. And
I totally agree.
I kind of felt this way with the trailer. Now, then again, I haven't seen the movie, and I know there's supposed to be something. That's supposed to be the message is about, I guess, sexualizing these 11-year-olds. But
Promo pictures had him like twerking and stuff, which is a little weird.
Sure, but is that any different than, say, Honey Boo Boo's pageants or JonBenet Ramsey?
I don't know who started all that stuff, but I think that is so bizarre having 3-year-olds in pageants and 5-year-olds. It's just
This is not real life. But once again, I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know how bad.
I know they were really focusing on a couple pictures. One of which, all the 4 main girls apparently are posing, and they have their hand on their downstairs.
Do you see that as sexual? I mean, I'm being honest. When you see that, do you think of sex when you see that? Because I don't.
I don't know what their intention was. It's a French film, and the film is about sexualizing young girls. Isn't that what the film's about?
Well, it's about the one girl's
The French
coming of age.
Well, we've seen a lot of coming of age movies with boys, but
no,
they're a little young. I don't know. The pictures are what were bothering people. The promo pictures and the trailer pictures and whatnot. Yeah. And I just don't know because rare that I would get involved in something. Oh, I've got to do something about this. But today people were. We're calling out Harry and Meghan and Obama and Michelle to do something. You work for these people. You take their money.
They're complicit.
Oh, no. I did see this one where there was a the cancel Netflix subscription petition. Boy, that's a mouthful.
Yeah, right. So what are you going to watch?
On change.org. And someone on there wrote, from Cuties to Big Mouth. You know, we all love Big Mouth.
Yeah.
The cartoon. To other movies mocking religions and exploiting children, Netflix is no longer the family-friendly streaming service I once thought it to be. And like, what?
Family-friendly?
I never thought of Netflix as being family-friendly.
No, it's a service. It's not a network. It's not anything.
No, and not only that, but you can choose the kids' choice when you log in and look at all the kids' stuff. I don't know. I just feel
like Tulsi Gabbard jump on board. I think Ted Cruz did.
So what? I don't know. I see that picture. I don't think of sex. That's just me. I don't know.
Yeah, honestly, I just don't know enough about it.
Well, look at that picture.
I'm not in favor of any of that stuff. I mean, the pageants with these young kids at JonBenet Ramsey, I was like, that's disgusting to me. I don't really understand it. I don't even understand why there's like Miss Illinois and Miss State and the Miss Universe and
all
that.
It seems
like that stuff is so of the past.
It's just weird.
But people watch it. I watch it.
No one is going to. Well, this actually probably helped this show to get more views. I'm not going to watch it because of the whole it being in French and
sound like it's up my alley personally. But did you see?
I had a pedophilia transition here for you.
Oh, nice pedophilia stack.
I love to stack the pedophilia stories.
The Prince Andrew. Did you see the story about Prince Andrew today?
Yeah, that he was at his father Philip's 100th birthday party and they airbrushed him out of every picture.
Which I'm like, that's pretty bad to have him in the picture and then airbrush him out. Couldn't they just say, Andrew, stand over in the corner. There's your punishment.
I know how
we're going to
take
a family picture now.
Does he think he's in all the pictures?
They probably gave him a copy.
Andrew, here's all the pictures. Look, you're in all
of
them.
Yeah, he got one where he's not airbrushed out. Oh, man.
That's so ludicrous.
What is stupid.
Airbrushed him out. Wait, is that the right word there? Wouldn't it be photoshopped out? They said airbrushed out.
Did you watch Away, the whole thing, or any of it, much?
I've only watched 2 episodes.
Okay, I got into like the third or fourth episode, and I'm like, okay, this is like a space thing for chicks. It's all about the backstory and the loving relationships of the people back home. Where's the space stuff,
dude? I'm so that That's funny. I was talking to some friends.
Every Christmas without mommy because she's in space.
Do you know what it's based on, by the way? It's actually based
Houston,
on
Houston, we have a problem.
Based on what?
It's based on an Esquire article someone wrote about, is it Mark Kelly, the astronaut who went up to space for like a year, the twin? And
yeah.
And then Gabby Giffords got shot. She's his sister-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
That whole series is based on that situation of him being in space for a year while his family undergoes something here. I was telling Brandon, my favorite part of that show is, I think 3 minutes into the whole series, female Matt Damon, what's her name?
Hillary Swank. By the way, I just remembered, when I was watching this, I remembered the boxing movie with Clint Eastwood.
Million Dollar Baby.
Or Billy. It's not a bad Cliff Notes, by the way.
It's great.
Yeah, we'll play it today.
So they're at their daughter's soccer game, you know, because she's going to go to Mars for 3 years and whatever. And the daughter doesn't take the shot that would have won the game, apparently. So I guess they tied, which I don't know why the other team's celebrating so much and they're so bummed out over a tie.
Because she could have kicked the game winner in.
They could have won. Yeah, but I mean, the other team is celebrating over a tie, presumably.
Oh, because they played.
I find them boring.
So, the other team choked.
Doesn't matter. So they the next scene, it cuts to the parents and the girl walking in a building, and they have their lanyards on. And female Matt Damon is like, you got to take these shots, blah, 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 life story. And she then takes off her jacket where she has her jumpsuit on, which she wore to the soccer game, and walks into the press conference with the other four people that are going to Mars with no prep or anything. She just went from soccer game, walked into a building, and went to a
press conference. Well, it's because she cares so much about her family, which we learned when she's up in space, is that she does nothing but worry about her family. It's like, why are you in fucking space for 2 years if you love your family so fucking much? That's bullshit.
But it really bothered me as you know, you've had to be at events, and you don't just get there and go on stage. You have to get there a little earlier. You don't cut it that close. And you certainly don't wear your jumpsuit underneath. I don't know why it bothered me so much.
And you know what's interesting is Hillary Swank, of course, she is just managing her child's life from space. Called the psychiatrist. She got to see on a test. It's bullshit. She got to see the shrink.
From space.
And then there's one girl up in space who's married with a kid, but she's actually in love with another chick.
What?
Yeah, and she learns from her that she learned English by singing karaoke.
In space?
No, not in space, but...
I'll give you another problem with that movie. They're going to Mars, and they launch from Earth, stop at the moon to launch again. To which I'm thinking, wait, isn't that a waste of fuel? Because now you're doing two launches.
Get your ass to Mars.
You're not that much closer. I don't know what you're watching.
I haven't seen any space stuff. There's no space stuff except people looking out windows once in a while.
Wait, what about when she repaired the solar panels?
Oh, well, yeah, there was that.
That was kind of a cool show.
And that was controversial, too. It was like, you risked your life, and I depend on you.
I really wish, this is when I wish, like, major stars aren't the stars of things where you don't know who the real star is, because you knew she wasn't going to die, and I was just hoping for that character, because I already hated her, just to float off into space when she untethered.
Oh, yeah, no, that would have been really nice.
See you later, female Matt
Why
Damon.
Did she pass out, by the way?
Ooh, I don't think I saw that part.
You know, when she was fixing the satellite, didn't she pass out? She was tethering, like,
Oh, I don't remember, I don't know. Apparently, I wasn't that hooked to it. Well, little things have been bothering me.
I'm telling you, if you're a guy, don't watch this series.
No, it's good. I'm done with it. Brandon, have you watched The Boys yet? Season two of The Boys?
No, and I really want to see season two because I thought season one was fantastic.
What's The Boys?
It's on Amazon Prime, and it's about superheroes, but it's not a superhero-type show. Am I explaining it the right way, Brandon? There's more to it than that.
It's not your conventional Spider-Man and, you know, your Marvel, your DC.
There's seven major superheroes, and they're, like, the biggest celebrities in the world because they're superheroes. But they're also about the money, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So, anyway, in season two, there's a scene where there's another Asian woman with special abilities, but she doesn't talk. And so she's with these other people, and they're having a tough time communicating. You know, she's trying to write things down. All the while, some guy is sitting on a computer doing presumably something on the internet, to which I'm sitting here going, just go to Google Translate. Just go to Google Translate and have her type it in, and then you can read it in English or vice versa. I don't know why little things like that just kind of bother me. They seem obvious.
Is The Boys worth watching?
I love it. I think it's phenomenal.
I think it's good. You know, The first scene of the entire series is pretty damn powerful. It just kind of kicks off. Who's the main character? It's somebody famous' son.
It's Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid's son.
It's Randy Quaid's nephew.
Randy Quaid's nephew.
I wonder if you've seen Randy Quaid boff his wife.
Probably. He looks, doesn't he look just like Dennis Quaid?
He does.
And
he does.
Dennis Quaid, by the way, has a 27-year-old girlfriend.
He does?
Yeah.
That's younger than his son, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm sure it is, because he's 65 or 66 or something, but he's in great shape.
Jack Quaid is 28.
Is that Meg Ryan's kid?
Yeah. I think he's really good, though, Brandon. Don't you think he's a good actor? I mean, he's supposed to be kind of a
puss.
He
didn't piss me off. Yeah. You know, a lot of times when I see, like, the nepotism hires like this in a major series, I just get a little irked because I know they were just handed it to. And this, that might be the case for this kid as well, but at least he's pretty good in the role. And he's not trying to play a badass, and kind of quite the opposite. But it's pretty interesting. I'd say if you watch episode one and you like it, you'll enjoy the series. So at least give it a shot.
This is how I think it's a good review. There's somebody will like it. ML really likes it. ML doesn't like anything new past the 80s.
He doesn't.
I tell him that all the time. You don't like anything past the 80s.
He doesn't like Van Halen.
He holds shit up.
Van Halen's too recent for him, aren't they?
Pretty much. He likes anything 80s and earlier, but he likes
his room 7609.
He does. He likes the boys, though.
Ron Callis.
He's a garbage.
Bell, the brother of Cool Papa Bell, died at the age of 68. He's the brother. The two brothers really are the heart of Cool in the gang. Yeah. And Ron Bell died at 68. And I didn't realize this. Cool in the gang are the most sampled band ever.
They are.
I didn't know that, but that's what they said.
Huh.
I thought James Brown was the most sampled person ever.
Jesus, Drew. I was just thinking the same thing, but I wouldn't know.
Yeah!
How about
a little Ladies' Night?
Oh, Jungle Boogie. Jungle Boogie's been sampled.
Hollywood Nights. Too Hot. Joanna.
Get down on it. Down on it.
Nothing like being to the point.
They're really kind of silly songs, but we all know them.
Oh, yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. It's a celebration.
I remember Ladies' Night when I was in college. I think it was Thursday was always Ladies' Night, and they would always play the song.
Of course. Night. And maybe that's the genius behind them for writing that song.
Ladies' Night. Oh, what a night. Oh, what a night.
Hand claps.
What a night.
Oh, what a night and shit. Yeah.
I don't know, you know.
There's gonna be lots of ladies around. What a night, man.
It's a cool song.
Those hand claps.
Crank I like it. A John Lovitz version better.
Do that.
John Lovitz version? Let's hear it. I didn't know there was a Lovitz version.
I'm telling you, it's pretty, pretty damn good. Let's see. Oh, yeah.
What's this from?
You'll recognize it.
Yes, it's Ladies'
Night. A wedding singer.
And the feeling's right. Oh, yes, it's Ladies' Night. Oh, what a night. Ladies' Night. And the feeling's right.
Man, I've never seen it from this perspective before. Is this what I look like?
No. No, you're much better than him. He's ridiculous.
Sophisticated mama.
Single baby.
Sophisticated mama. Come on, you disco
lady.
Sing me that mama. Yes, it's ladies not overnight.
Oh, I'd love to have a voice like that. What a voice.
Oh, what a night. Ladies' Night. Ladies' Night. Enough with the ladies and shit. Yeah. I like that name.
Rip Ron Bell. Like and Toots, right?
Yeah, Toots.
Who's Toots?
Toots.
Jamaican, man.
Of the Toots and the Maytals, right? Isn't that the Toots that died?
Right near the beach. Boy!
Toots and the Maytals, yeah. And he was, I think he was, like, credited as being kind of the person who started reggae music. And in fact, this one hit Eli Zarrett really hard. In fact,
really?
Yeah. He said, I need to have some toots music for tomorrow's No Filter Sports Podcast.
Really?
So what'd you choose?
I haven't done that yet.
Really? You didn't? Have you ever talked to
Toots Hibbert.
Yes, I have.
That's funny. Did you see the big article by Jeff Slidell in the Free Press today?
About what?
I'll just read the headline to you.
Sophisticated mama!
Oh, where's that?
Oh, you disco lady!
Find the headline.
Ooh, what a name. Here's the. I found the headline for you.
All right, yeah, read the.
Sophisticated mama. Man. Go ladies, shoot.
Maybe I tossed
what
it.
What a name.
But it's basically, the headline was, I was never going to try marijuana, but this made me take it. Oh, I swore I'd never try marijuana. Here's why I did. And it's just a story.
1 ounce of Purple Opal, 2 ounces of Fisherman's Friend, and a half ounce of Alabama Kush.
He had a nerve problem in his back, and he couldn't sleep. There, I just wrote his whole story for him. So now he took weed. But the part I found interesting is why he avoided it and just was scared of it and didn't have any interest in it for a long, long time.
Why?
Oh, just because of misinformation. Stigma. And then finding, you know, he said he had someone.
Does he have any friends?
Yeah, he knew someone that had addiction problems. So
with pot?
It's
a gateway drug.
Just telling you what he said in his column. But then next thing you know, grandmas were taking edibles. So he thought it was okay.
And I got to tell you, all you modern day stoners, our generation were the original stoners. When nobody knew what the long-term effects were, we were getting high every day, charting the course for you.
Apparently, it was yelling at clouds. That's the long-term effect.
We were. I have to tell you, there was so much bullshit when we started smoking pot. It was like, one joint is the equivalent of 50 cigarettes.
I always heard 20.
I think it was 20.
Not to minimize the fires going on in the West Coast, but I saw the interview that NBC did with Gavin Newsom.
Oh, yeah.
He goes like this. He goes, yes, air quality is the equivalent to smoking 20 packs of cigarettes.
Where do you get that number?
And I first went, okay, first off, it sounds like a thing you just pulled out of your ass. But number two, 20 packs of cigarettes over how long? Each breath? Over a day, an hour? It was just a very hyperbolic thing to say.
I didn't realize, by the way, I mean, call me an idiot, but I had no idea that the wildfires were political.
They are?
Yeah.
How are they political?
Because they're did you hear a speech today about climate change deniers are responsible for this?
I didn't think it was climate change that started these fires. I thought it was those meth heads who they busted and they put out their mug shots.
Yeah, they set fires, and then there was the gender reveal party. But
yeah.
I mean, there's a debate going on. I'll put it that way. And don't ask me if I know what the truth is. And it is like, climate change deniers caused it. And then it's like, no, bad forestry management caused it. Well, and they blame it on the tree huggers because there's so much that should have been taken down that is just tinder to go
up. How dare you?
But I don't know what the answer is because I don't know anything anymore.
I don't know the story.
I read a story and then I read it six different ways done by six different people and none of the stories are even close to the same. So I don't know anything.
Well, most of the climate scientists say that the events are just worse and more traumatic now because of climate. I don't fucking know.
So what about the forestry management argument?
Probably, sure.
I think from what I read, the tree huggers were being blamed.
Change
because
is coming whether you like it or not.
Because they don't want anything removed from the forest.
And I should be back in school.
It looks to me like it is a fucking tinderbox, but what do I know?
Yeah, well, maybe they're not getting the rain either, so those trees stay drier.
Well, it'd be nice if people didn't set fires. That would help. And
the science has been crystal clear.
Hey, speaking of Greta, you know that big just one sentence in the story. I saved a story for a long time just to read you one sentence. It's about her documentary that's coming out.
Oh, I can't wait. I love documentaries.
Particularly on her. Why can I not? Oh, here it is. It's called
I might watch it.
I'll watch it. I don't know. I'll watch anything.
I hate watch it, but I might watch it.
Adults like documentaries.
I'll watch anything except for the rest of Away.
Oh, God, I will not watch Arrested Away. That, I assure you.
So I am Greta, and there's a story here about how, you know, this director followed her around and has all this never-seen footage from when she, remember, she traveled across the ocean to speak at the climate conference with the UN. Do you remember that?
Yes.
So here's
when she yelled at everybody.
Yeah. Here's the part where that I saved just to tell you. Thunberg said she appreciated that Grossman, as the director, didn't further what she said was the stereotype of her as the angry, naive child who sits in the United States General Assembly screaming at world leaders. That's not the person I am, Thunberg says. He definitely made me seem more like a shy, nerdy person, which is the person that I am, which, honestly, didn't we think that that's kind of what she was?
I don't think shy, nerdy people scream at world leaders.
She, when showed the final project, she didn't ask for anything to be cut. She only asked for more to be added.
Of course.
You're okay. Failing us.
That's the first thing that made me laugh. Then she said she didn't notice Grossman's presence, whatever. It was not very professional, she said, of his low-frills filmmaking project. I thought it was kind of weird for her to shit on it. Sometimes I actually doubted, since she said this might be something big, and I said, why don't they send you like a sound guy or anything, or why don't you have any more professionals? So I think maybe on some level I doubted the seriousness of the project. Once again, she's shitting on this director. This is the part that really made me laugh. This is the part that really made me laugh. But now that it's out, Thunberg said she was pleased with the end result, and then she excused herself to go back to class.
What?
She's back in school.
Bullshit.
I thought the whole point was a strike.
He's protesting, I
should be back in school.
She's back in school.
Okay,
I thought she was supposed to be on strike.
Somebody, I think that's just her Fridays.
Someone please tell me.
Couldn't they do the interview on a Friday?
This is not true. I'm looking at a Facebook account called America First. It's a post from 2 days ago, and it says, watch. Woman causes a disturbance on board Spirit Airlines. She won't allow flight attendant to pass because that would be white privilege. What? What? Damn it, is this a news story?
MAGA.
I haven't seen it. Let's see if I can find it. Did this just happen?
I don't know. I just noticed it on my Facebook.
I got it. Here it is. It's 5 minutes.
Ma'am, I need to get to.
She wanted to go to jail. Y'all see how she antagonized me? Y'all see how the lady doing me? Look, and then she coming. Look, all I'm trying to do is use the bathroom. What?
Cool thing is there's zero context as to what's going on.
You're not listening.
No, she won't let the attendant through.
I'm grown. I'm trying to use the bathroom. The lady is coming.
I need to get to the bathroom.
Now she needs to get to her door. Can I get to my bathroom?
No.
What do I got to listen to?
No, I was blocking you.
What I got to listen to? Are you my boss? You are white privilege. You're not my boss. Sit down. Sit down.
She already is sitting.
The flight attendant is her boss.
And you're not my boss. You're white privilege. Sit down. You don't have privilege over me.
Oh, I don't.
You have privilege. No, but
you are not the boss of me.
Look what these PC terms do to people.
Respect for me like you've been having.
Call them now.
Call them.
I need to get to my door.
Good. And I need to get to my bathroom. So you write and respect people. You have white privilege, and it's not here. It's over with. It's 2020. Wake up. You got a mask on. So you're under the government, too. You're confined. And you don't have white privilege anymore. I'm a queen. California. She was from a black queen.
Okay, well, I need
you don't talk because you so privileged that you got to get to somebody else and tell them you're not listening. I don't have to listen to you.
Then go to the bathroom.
You don't. Yeah, you're
exactly.
Gonna run
just
me.
Go to the bathroom.
You
then.
Go to the bathroom.
You have to go to the bathroom so bad.
You go to the bathroom. You don't tell me what
I'm
to
not
do.
To you.
It's Aretha.
Listen to your mama. She should have told. I know you don't care. You so grown.
Ma'am, I need to get to my
okay,
door.
Okay, thank you.
And I need to get to the bathroom.
Like I said, y'all don't run people. You don't run America. You run yourself. So get off your little mentality that you better than somebody because you're not. Ooh. Thank you. Yeah, huh? That's what I say. See this little shit right here? Mm-hmm. This whole little mentality. But you need to understand you don't
sounds
run
like
America.
You're the one with mentality, little lady.
At this time. That's your own.
Take your
police. read me. And guess what? When I was 14, they said, oh, you people are so defiant. I slapped the shit out that white bitch when she called me that all y'all white people are so to say. And
as
I got off that bus.
Whoa, whoa, I didn't ask for your life story.
All y'all people is all the same. That's what y'all teach in your house. But black people don't teach that hate in our house. You need to understand that.
MAGA.
Yeah, we don't teach hate in our house. Y'all teach hate in your house. Y'all narcissists. Well, but you ain't gonna play that shit with me, yes. Because I'm not a slave. I never came from Africa. I'm an indigenous person to this country.
Oh, my God. Just go to the bathroom,
oh, my God. Now she's yelling at a different person.
No, it's the same one. Same one she's been yelling at.
I thought she was yelling at the flight attendant.
Oh, no, no. That was the white lady who was sitting that she told to sit down.
Yeah.
Early on, that's the same one.
But the flight attendant was trying to get through, and she wouldn't let her through.
Well, here she is being pulled off the plane now at the very end.
I didn't see that.
By a black officer? Did you see there is a flight? Delta flight was delayed today from Detroit because the passenger refused to wear a mask. God. So great.
Stupid.
Excellent.
There is just...
Nobody tells anybody...
So much stupidity going on right now, and I...
People are just rude.
You know, I remember... I don't know why this crossed my mind, but all the things that moms used to tell you when you were a kid. Like, if you have something nice to say about someone, then don't say it.
No, now we encourage everybody to say whatever they want, whenever
exactly.
they want, in any manner they want.
Everyone has a voice, no matter how old, how intelligent, or what you know, say it.
It's really funny that this social media is just unleashed on the world, nobody realizing that it would expose the absolute worst of people.
It's terrible. Well, some people don't deserve a voice. And by the way, calling someone an influencer because they're hot is ridiculous.
There's an influencer in trouble because she took pictures and her background was the red skies of California. The fires.
Oh, because she thought it was a cool background?
Which, number one, yeah, fine, bad taste, whatever. But number two, the people that are mad are like, come on, really? You're just as bad by being upset and yelling at this lady. Why don't you go take care of the fire, do something about it?
I wish we limited people's social media. Like, only 50 people can see or read anything you do. That's the maximum. No more.
Yeah. Yeah, but then they'll just share it with their 50 people. We'll share
their 50 people go, oh, it's that dipshit again.
Yeah. Meh.
Boy. Well.
You should just be able to downvote things, and then if you get X amount of downvotes, it disappears from the internet forever.
Real quick, completely turn it in for the day. I did want to make a reference back to Jeff Seidel. I know we were looking for that story and then we couldn't find it. I did find the video portion that he provided when he...
Oh, really? Okay.
When he jumped on the marijuana train and then had to go to AA and stuff like that. Yeah, he actually had to go to Alcoholics Anonymous. And you'll just hear it.
Hi, everyone. My name is Thurgood.
Jeff.
Hi.
Such a great scene.
I'm here today because I'm addicted to marijuana.
You in here for some marijuana? Marijuana? Man, this is some bullshit.
Marijuana is not a drug. I used to suck dick for coke.
I seen them.
Now that's an addiction, man. You ever suck some dick for marijuana?
No, I can't say I have.
I didn't think so.
Boo this man!
It's all right, Jeff.
Oh, I'm sorry that happened.
Oh. Hi, doggy. Kristen's back, Drew.
Oh, I see her.
She delivered Randy.
Randy. Oh, he is a sweet-looking dog.
Yeah.
Boy, is he
cute.
He almost looks like
Randy Marsh. A little bit of uncircled Randy in there.
Some people are saying you're more interested in Randy than Madeline.
That's not true.
Oh, Randy's new. Oh.
Oh. Aw.
Night, night.
Good night.
Night, night.
What a cutie. Night, night. He's so cute.
Okay.
Hey, so there were a couple things. Let's see. Is there anything we absolutely need to get to? Not really, but did you guys see the Tim Tebow book? It's John Elway book. It's about the 2011 season, which was Tebow's year, and the book just blasts Tebow for being the most self-centered, what do they call him? Something like the most egotistical,
the most
humble guy.
Self-centered, yeah. Yeah. The most self-centered, humble person ever.
Elway's wife wanted to see if he would do a charity event, and she was sent to his brother, who said, "Oh yeah, it'll be $50,000."
Oh yeah, it was a Christian thing too, wasn't
it? Yes. And Janet Elway was like, "John does charity things for free because it's for the charity," but apparently Tebow's brother, who probably got the commission, wouldn't budge, so she blew it off. She's like, okay, fuck you.
That's good. That's plausible deniability for Tebow. You can say, oh, I didn't even know. I would have done that for free.
And
it's,
then
it's really interesting, too.
Speaking in churches, $50,000 for making a speech at a church. $50,000.
I forgot. Really? I forgot. How,
wouldn't you love to know that the money you gave to your church was being given to Tim Tebow to come speak to you and probably tell you what to do? Or why he's so great.
Maybe they want to be told what to do.
I don't know how his net worth, according to Celebrity Net Worth, is only $5 million. I could have sworn he made more.
He's got so many endorsements.
Just on endorsements alone.
Is he still playing for the Mets, by the way?
That was
there's no minor leagues this year.
Well, I mean, but is he still technically?
Yeah.
Because that's a joke. That is a joke. From day one, it's a joke. His career average in the minor leagues is like 220. He strikes out like 40% of the time he bats.
Wasn't he down in spring training this year?
I think he was.
For a little while?
He's 32 years old, I think.
I was telling Brandon, I totally forgot. Not only was he their number one pick for Denver that year,
yeah,
I totally forgot that they traded up to get him.
I know. Josh McDaniel. Nice job.
He won a playoff game.
He did. He does have.
He threw for 316 yards. Which, of course, his fans were delighted by.
80 on one play that was like a five-yard slant. Was it Demaryius Thomas took him out?
His career passing percentage is 46.5%. And the Broncos...
That's terrible.
I know. The word of the Broncos was that he not only didn't understand the offense, he couldn't read defenses. Oh. He just could see his first option, and then it was like all hell breaks loose.
That's all he did in college, though. He ran that
option,
the option pass.
Well, when your players are twice as good as anybody else's players, it's a little easier. Yeah. You can pull that off.
Yeah, and he helped Aaron Hernandez. He's complicit in those murders.
Because
he got him out of the bar that one night, remember?
Yeah. But I thought that anyone, if you even spent 5 minutes in a room with him, you were better, and yet it seems that it's hard to get in the room with him without paying him. So I don't know. I'm confused.
Passion, the fire of Tim Tebow, who is the unquestioned greatest leader in college football today. What an unbelievable player and an even more impressive young man.
And definitely not the mayor of the gay capital.
I have to admit, I was so annoyed that his speech is engraved on a wall on a building at the University of Florida. That stupid speech.
Hey, they won the championship that year because of that speech. No other reason.
Wasn't that the year before?
They won the year that speech. They just lost to Mississippi State. Oh, I'm positive.
Fuck. I still don't think
it's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos. It will be a home run.
I still don't think that speech was that fucking good. We'll do everything to make you never lose another game. Well, you have the best team. You shouldn't lose another game.
I mean, you got to hear Tebow deliver it for 50 grand and then hear him deliver it, and your life will be changed for the better.
Fuck.
We talked about Daniel House, the basketball player.
Yeah, he's kicked out.
So
well,
the team's done now, but they did boot him out because not only did he bring the COVID tester to the room, I guess she was there all night.
Well, yeah, he banged her. I told you.
Of course.
No, I knew he
banged
her.
You can't have a hot female tester because she will eventually get sucked into an NBA penis.
But my question is, though, what about her? Is she still in the bubble testing the rest of the NBA?
No, because you can't have a hot female tester. You can't.
They did, though.
What?
They did, though.
But you can't. Because they will. There's some magnetic force that leads hot women onto NBA penises. It just happens.
So they kicked her out of the bubble, too?
I hope so.
Science.
Nice of Conor McGregor to sexually assault and pull his dick out for a married woman in Corsica, by the way, who was on the way to the bathroom. And, you know, when I read the story, first of all, Conor being Conor. His people said, it was just another person looking to make a headline and a payday. Yeah, there's a lot of money in claiming you're sexually assaulted by Conor McGregor. I'm sure that pays very well. But the funny story was there's one witness, and then there's Conor and his bodyguards, plural. Why does he have bodyguards? And if he's pulling his dick out for people, why don't they guard people from him?
Maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe he's paying.
Well, they're not doing a very good job, because remember he punched that old man in the bar, just sitting there sipping his beer? He's fucking crazy.
He is nuts.
This guy is a human wrecking ball. Can someone put him to cool off in prison for a couple years?
No, because he's Conor McGregor and he's got money.
Lots
he's
of
such
it
a
too.
Fucking prick, though. He really, I mean, is he not one of the biggest assholes going today?
Conor McGregor, yeah.
And I see he's engaged to this girl, by the way, who's not that hot.
Ah!
I know, it was kind of weird.
She's been with him forever.
Probably because she allows his behavior.
It could be, but does he need to be Devlin? Engaged? Yeah, D. Devlin.
I don't think she's bad.
Well, she's okay, but
I was just
standards on Drew.
In the beginning of the Cowboys Rams, it's just Jerry World totally empty. Which you know,
I thought he said it was going to be full. Get the outro, Brandon.
But then, they just had a shot of him. Oh, who's that sweaty guy? Then they just showed a shot of Jerry Jones, like sitting in a suite by himself. It just looks silly. If you were Jerry Jones, wouldn't you move down to like the second row? You're not going to be bothered by anybody.
I want me some glory hole.
Okay. Carl's here Tuesday. We'll be talking podcasts with the host of Who Are These Podcasts? And I do want to thank Maria for sharing her story, her white boy Rick brush with celebrity. Brush with celebrity stories are always cool, aren't they?
Yeah, send them our way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love them.
We might even call you up. And I swear, I'm still not over that Lions game. I mean, I'm not like upset about it. I can't believe I saw that happen again.
It's amazing. I don't get it.
How low are they going to lower the bar to keep Matt Patricia this year? Seriously, because first it was got to be competing for a playoff spot. And then it was like, it seemed that the bar was even lowering from there.
Yeah. Great question. I don't see him making it through this season.
I don't know how the sports radio people and the people that cover the line, don't they get tired of writing the same story? It must drive them crazy.
Let's see. Oh, I'll ask Windsor.
Same old Lions, same old Lions, same old Lions, same old Lions.
All right.
I knew this story was coming. What Lions told Swift after he dropped the game-winning touchdown.
Oh, so it's a nice story. It's a happy story.
Got all the
They're
games
building
that he
it back up.
Hey, Eddie, who's the broad and what's she doing in the gym?
That's Maggie. She wants to learn how to box, Frankie.
Hey, Mr. Bruno, will you train me? I'm 110% pure trailer trash, but I got a heart of gold.
But you don't have one of these. And I don't train wool. So why don't you make my day and take your foxy boxing somewhere else?
Hey, Frankie, when am I going to fight for the motherfucking title?
Look, you've only won 346 straight fights. You're not ready. You don't want to end up like Eddie. Look at that repulsive eye.
Damn, Frankie. You know you feel guilty about letting me fight for the title too soon? But how could you know I wasn't ready? You were only my trainer. Don't hold somebody else back just because I'm disgusting for life.
Days later, Big Willie fights another chump.
Go get him, Willie.
Oh, I dropped the mother... I'm ready for the big one now, Frankie.
I think he's ready, Frankie.
God, Eddie, gross. Cover that eye or something. Jeez, we're gonna need a couple more fights, Willie.
Come on, Frankie.
Sorry, kid.
2 days later,
Big Willie.
Hey, man, thanks for training me all these years, but I can't keep waiting for my shot just because some dumbass messed up his eye and so I just signed a deal with a new trainer.
Suck my ass.
Say what?
Good luck, kid.
The next day at the gym.
Hey, that vag is using my punching bag.
Relax, Frankie. I put it on there.
I know. You're the sympathetic character in this movie, but I said no vag trains in this gym.
Please help me, Mr. Bruno. I know I'm a stupid piece of trash, but I'm really sweet. I work hard, and I got a good punch. And you'd kind of make up for the fact that you're estranged from your grown daughter.
Sorry, no veg.
2 days later, Frankie and Eddie attend Maggie's fight.
She's getting her ass beat, Frankie.
Get your guard up, Maggie. Protect your left side. Maggie, get your guard up. Who is this idiot in her corner?
I don't know, but she needs help.
Get your guard up.
Hey, is she your fighter, huh? Hey, Frankie, is she your fighter?
Yeah, I guess.
Thanks, Mr. Bruno. I won't let you down.
Just keep your guard up and give her a left-right combo.
Yeah, And the winner is Maggie!
I'm so excited. You're training me.
Okay, look. Two things you have to do. Do exactly what I tell you. There better be no back talk. I don't want my knowledge questioned by some vag. And second, keep your guard up and protect your side.
I'll do anything. You won't regret this.
Three victories later.
Let's go, Maggie. Hit her hard and knock her out.
Okay, Mr. Bruno.
Hit her hard. Hit her harder, Maggie. Knock that vag out. Good job, Maggie.
Let's go visit my embarrassing white trash family.
24 hours later.
Hi, Mom.
I'm sorry, I know you're my daughter, but what's your name again?
It's Maggie, Mom. And I'm an undefeated boxer now.
Yeah, whatever. You got a light?
Mom, I'm an undefeated boxer.
How butchy. No wonder you ain't knocked up yet.
Mom, I got a wonderful surprise for you.
Don't tell me. You didn't get me no carton of cigarettes, did you?
No, Mom. Even though I never see you and you're the worst mom ever, I used my life savings to buy you a house.
That's the most stupidest thing you've ever done. What will the welfare people say if they find out? And just think of all the cigarettes that would have bought. Damn you, whatever your name is.
Months later, Maggie fights in Las Vegas for $1 million. Hence, $1 million baby.
I've got something for you.
Oh my God, it's a robe.
With your stupid Gaelic nickname on the back.
You're like the father I never had, Frankie.
And getting close to you helps relieve the guilt of the bull non-existent relationship I have with my daughter.
Now if I can win this fight, you can get over the guilt of Eddie's gross eye.
And tie this movie up in a nice red bow.
And Maggie and the black bitch are really exchanging blows here. And that's the end of the round. And the evil black bitch throws a vicious haymaker after the bell. Nails Maggie. She's flying in slow motion. Looks like her head is going to hit the chair. Oh no, her head hits the chair. Oh my God, she's a quadriplegic. And she loses the fight. Tough break for the white trash waitress.
Later at the hospital.
Where's my piece of family?
They're taking in a little Disneyland on the way here.
I lost the fight.
And I didn't exercise my guilt over moving Eddie along too fast. Even though if this were even remotely realistic, that vag would have been disqualified and you'd be the champ.
And now you're stuck with me in this hospital.
What kind of doctors work out here in the sand? We're gonna take you to some real doctors. Any idiot knows a good doctor can unparalyze a patient. What's the big deal?
Hi, Maggie.
Thank God my family is finally here. I'm sure they'll come for me.
Even though they've never been worth a before.
Maggie, you're totally f***ed up. You gotta sign over power of attorney so somebody irresponsible like me can handle your affairs while you can't move.
Put the pen in her hand. I think paralyzed people can still sign.
Come on, Maggie, sign it. We didn't come all the way from Disneyland just to watch you not move. Sign it.
Put it in her mouth so she can make a mark.
Make a mark. Come on, we need the cash, and you can't spend it on your back.
Come on, make a mark, sis.
Get the f*** out of here. Frankie, come here so I can whisper in your ear to euthanize me.
You mean assisted suicide. Okay, Maggie, you're gonna fall asleep, and then you'll stop breathing. Nice fight for a vag.
Here I am, Morgan Freeman, narrating again. Just like driving Miss Daisy, Shawshank Redemption, you name it, I narrated. Frankie shot her up with 4 times the adrenaline she needed. And although he didn't do much right, he f***ed up my career. Screwed up Maggie's. Didn't get Willie his title fight. Was a whore daddy. He did get the assisted suicide thing right. Since then, he never came back to the gym. Thank God for that.